This is PFW in Progress.
The best undiscovered female voices will sing on this stage tonight with one definite goal: to win your vote. You decide their destiny. You make the call. The competition is on. Let's go. This is
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I like that, Fred.
I think it was a complete and utter mess. It didn't work. It was all over the place. You were forgetting your words. It just didn't work.
Lightly.
I really, really, really hated that. Sorry.
Paul Perillo.
Are you drunk?
No, not at all.
No. I thought it was ridiculous.
And Andy. And Andy?
Last week you indicated that you are on a different page.
Well, let's just redefine that as correct page.
Andy Hart.
Now, being serious, I watched the show back, and I have to say, if I was giving myself marks out of 10, I'd give myself a 10.
Some guy named Tom.
The reality is, it is actually more than just singing. It is about personality. It's about the right choice of song. You can't come up on a stage like tonight and be in your own world and hope that you're going to interest the American audience, because they're going to forget that performance three performances later. So not your best night by a mile.
And you never know. Rory might stop by.
You are cute. You're likable. I think America, if they haven't already, are going to fall in love with you.
PFW in Progress.
There's nothing much you can do. And there were parts during the performance where it was actually painful. It didn't work. You can't keep doing this week after week after week. Sorry.
All right, but we can. Week after week after week, PFW in Progress. We're here. It's Wednesday. We're at Gillette Stadium. Fred, Andy, Paul, Tom, Gary in the booth, talking Patriots football, the only place in the world, really, that you can talk Patriots, solid Patriots football year-round.
So should we just get right into American Idol then?
Okay, what's the problem? Sanjaya?
Well, forget him. He's right. Such a clown. But you know what I love about Simon?
What?
Just that whole open that Gary puts together, and he rips everybody, and then he goes, sorry.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, I like him because he's a baby. Did you hear last
he
night?
He is always right, though.
I have to say, I'm sorry.
Started the music when he was still talking. And,
I wasn't
and then
done.
He just sulks.
No, because they do it to him. That's a running gag. They do it to him all the time because he's always negative, and they always cut him off.
All right, we are going to talk about Patriots football here. I promise you that.
Fred, did you notice that Andy's been watching the last couple of weeks? He used to make fun of us, remember?
Is that right? Yeah.
Well, because I was with my less than masculine friend.
Yeah. Most people say, well, I watch it because of my wife. Andy watches it because of his buddy.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on PVN.
He's one of those guys that can say some of my best friends are blank.
Yeah.
Right?
Like Ozzie
Make sure
Gian.
You tell your friends you heard
Tall.
It on PVN.
Tom, sounds like you want to talk about, or it doesn't sound like you want to talk about what they're talking about.
No, because you already talked about it for an hour upstairs.
What's going on football-wise that we should be talking about Patriots-wise today?
There's really not that much going on right now. I mean,
might as well get into American Idol.
Just the draft and compensatory picks were announced.
Yeah, so Patriots got four.
Yeah, they have three picks in the sixth round now, which will be in
four.
Four in the sixth.
And now, of course, Patriots Nation feels Patriots got
slighted,
screwed.
No question. The emails have already started, and webmaster Chris Ferreira, who is president of the Superfan Club, was already expressing, how do we not get a three or a four? Adam Vinatieri, David Givens.
I do want to know.
Well, Givens is crap.
At some point,
Givens
got him the highest pick.
He's
Givens got him the fifth round
He's
pick.
The best player. He's the most valuable player.
I know, but
in that
why
group.
Would you get a third rounder? Isn't it based someone on performance?
I don't know how these things are done.
Apparently,
so
no one does. But I think, Tom, you just hit the nail right on the head. That's the problem, is no one really understands or knows exactly what the formula is. We had an emailer about a month or so ago lay out a detailed description of what the formula was. And to be honest with you, it was stuff that I had not heard of. It all sounded very logical to me. That was totally wrong, because that's not what they ended up getting.
Well, according to Jonathan Kraft, the formula is in a black box in the league offices, and no one knows.
But how does no one
and
know?
I think that's
someone's
got to
know.
I think that's inherently wrong, and it allows people right now, Patriots fans, I think, to rightly be upset that some teams got third-round picks, and the best they got was a fifth-round pick, based on the disparity of what they lost as opposed to what they brought in. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, because on the Caldwell front, you say, well, he had a good year. It was based on performance. And then the Givens front, he didn't even play. So
Right.
It's partly due with salary And
it's all double talk. It starts.
It's playing time. You know, even Adam Vinatieri, everybody says, well, why didn't they get a third rounder? Even Adam Vinatieri, first of all, he's a kicker.
Right.
So I don't think he was going to warrant you a third rounder anyway. Plus, he missed time.
Right.
He was injured for part of the year with Indianapolis. So I think that hurt as well. But in baseball, they award compensatory picks for lost free agents, and you automatically get what they call a sandwich round pick, which I'm very high on, Fred, because I like sandwiches.
Right.
But kind of like Larry Johnson. They happen in between the first and second rounds. It's automatic. You lose a free agent. Someone signs one of your free agents. You're awarded a sandwich round pick. There's no, you know, fancy formula that you have to go by.
But they still have, in baseball, they're still ranked type A, type B or something, right?
Yes.
You end up with a first-round sandwich, a second-round sandwich.
Exactly. But there's categories.
Right.
And that's how you qualify.
Right.
You know when you lose Derek Lowe, it's going to be whatever.
Right,
the
but I'm guessing,
in the
I'm
NFL,
hoping the NFL has that too. No one knows.
It doesn't seem that way.
Because, you know, the 49ers got the highest, right? They, like, a third-round pick.
Yeah, third.
They lost Julian Peterson. So I'm guessing it was in big part based on Julian Peterson. So there has to be something where the players are somehow ranked. There has to be.
But why? Then why the secret?
I don't know about that.
It's
just so nobody can figure it out.
And
it's
I don't necessarily think the Patriots were, you know, somehow wronged in this whole thing. But I think it opens the door for people to be able to question it when you don't know what the formula is.
Well, yeah, no.
I'm
question.
Sure they went by the formula.
Fred, what's the reason why they don't say it?
I don't know.
Could they?
I have no
is
idea.
Is there any way they think people would try to manipulate it and look ahead and?
Well, that's the thing.
And,
if you know,
oh, I can get a third round pick.
If you know what the formula is, then there could be some manipulation. Yeah. Absolutely.
In what way?
I don't know.
Well,
I'm just throwing
if
you're going to be more apt to try to let a free agent go, so
no,
you can get a draft pick. I mean,
a team that's getting your draft pick might, you know, pay, you know, just a little less if it goes under a threshold, and then that team doesn't get as much of a if it's a, in your division doesn't get as high a compensation. I don't know, but if you know what the formula is, there's probably ways to manipulate it. So that's why they don't let the teams do
that's
it.
The very kind of comment that in the past, the old Paul Perillo would have probably
why
wondered about that. I don't really understand that. But the new Paul Perillo was just going to say, that's an interesting point, Fred.
No, I'm sure there's ways that teams can manipulate how other teams get compensated, or you can get compensated if you know the formula.
Okay, I don't really understand that. That's all.
Well, what if it has playing time? And you're out of it late in the year, and you suddenly don't start David Givens for some reason to change the formula, tweak his number.
He's got a little hamstring
and
problem.
Now you acquired
a lesser free agent because he didn't
right.
play the last
month.
But
isn't month, that one of the things that
then,
we know of?
But I don't know if...
You don't know
how it works. You
don't know how it works.
But if you know for sure that games started is the biggest factor, well, then you cannot start David Givens for a month so that when they give compensatory picks, your free agents signed don't look as good as your free agents lost, and you get a fourth instead of a fifth.
And you could even go as far as to say, well, it comes down to the final game, and he kind of tweaked his hamstring
right.
a little bit. You're out of it. Why don't you sit this
right.
one
it's
out?
It's kind of like contracts when teams know about contracts.
I would sit the guy out anyway
well,
if it was my
Andy,
it was
thank,
my,
thank,
it's not just you. There's ways you could manipulate.
No, that makes sense.
Thank you for explaining that to Paul.
No problem.
Because I know
Fred,
he was having
a problem
with that.
But that's an accurate way of putting it, Fred.
Okay.
I was having a problem with understanding exactly how you can manipulate it.
That
did kind of shed some light.
Sure.
And we know.
And once again, I think that was an excellent point by you, Fred. I can't stress that enough.
And we know, based on the way the league works,
I don't know anything.
That people will manipulate anything that's manipulatable, if that's a word.
Yeah, right. I don't know why you guys are focusing on the negative, though. This makes for one hell of a sixth round for us. I mean, four picks, that's going to be jam-packed action.
I just wrote that in the draft preview. That
you know, the problem with those late
picks.
Rounds is that's when ESPN goes to commercials. So you come
back. All of a sudden you come back and the Patriots have made
five
six picks.
Yeah, five picks have happened. You're trying to catch up and you don't know what happened.
Well, I think after maybe not this year, but in the next couple of years, I think the NFL Network will have a better. I think last year was their first year; they were kind of feeling it out. But ESPN, in my opinion, their draft coverage has been off the charts for six,
hey,
7 years
Gary,
now.
Hey, Gary, do you think that we could effort getting the direct feed from New York so that we can hear what they're saying when they're saying it? Is that possible?
Highly doubtful.
Well, they get it downstairs.
What is he talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, like the. Get the PA announcement. I'm sure, because I know our football operations has that direct feed. They know what's going on.
They
in
have
the
a
hall.
Lot of things that we don't.
But I don't want to know what they're saying. I just want to know.
The least of which is talent.
Anything that's being announced over the PA system we'll at Radio City Hall, we hear.
You get bored just listening on conference calls, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that happened once.
So when's our draft? What are we, Sunday? We're going to start, what, 9 o'clock at night, go to 2 in the morning? What have you figured out
have
here?
Have we finalized the schedule for draft weekend radio?
Yeah, 12 to 3. No, 3 to 6, 12 to 3.
3 to 6 on Saturday.
Saturday.
And 12 to 3 on Sunday.
Right, Gary? Yeah.
And we'll be blogging it up, right?
Yeah.
We'll is this going to be a real up. Blog or the crap you tried to pass
off? Well, you're
off
doing
last
it.
Year? It's no, crap. I'll blog.
It's
but
the crap that we passed off.
He's asking
last
about
year.
The technology.
I want when I post, I want it on the website. Ready to go. I don't want to wait 6 hours for it.
We'll figure something out.
In other words, as he same as last year.
That was another example of something 2 weeks ago.
He couldn't even look well, you in the eye and lie there.
We're going to try to blog and talk about all the picks and everything. We'll see how it goes.
Well,
we'll
apologize. You don't need to blog because you're on the radio.
I
people
know.
Can
I'm
listen.
Talking about 12 to 3, Fred.
Okay.
But people might read who aren't listening. People might be watching it on TV and go to the website.
I thought that was pretty well received last year. We got some positive feedback on that.
From the blogs?
Yeah.
Somebody quoted us somewhere on Chad Jackson.
Quite
we?
Honestly, we half-assed it last year.
Well, yeah, because we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah, we did the best we could, but the way the system is set up, we didn't have the software that I think the other guys that blog, you know, regularly have.
Yeah, that software we can download. That's free.
Is it?
Yeah, sure. You know,
so we're all
that was the only way we were getting it.
The question is, we'll work it out. We'll work.
I'm really
this
gonna,
is PFW.
I'm really going to rip the Lions.
Are you?
Yeah, because no matter what they do, it's going to be wrong. Okay. So you can go in knowing
because
well,
now
rip
they're
the
scared
Lions.
To draft Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. They want to move out of number two because they know they should draft Calvin Johnson, but they've drafted three receivers already, and they don't want to be in that position. Draft Joe Thomas and then have their fans boycott the stadium like they already do because they didn't draft Calvin Johnson
now,
3 years later.
If that rumor that was circulating a while ago turns out to be accurate and they're able to pull it off somehow and they can make a couple of deals to move down to three, they make a deal with Cleveland, move down to three, or make a deal so they can acquire some extra picks, move down two slots, and get Joe Thomas, then I don't think that's necessarily a bad move. But to stand sit tight at number two and take Joe Thomas because – you're afraid of taking Calvin Johnson. I agree with Tom wholeheartedly.
Who's Cleveland going up for?
I don't know.
Because they should just be taking Adrian Peterson. So
well, I think they might be.
There's a battle.
They
going
might
on.
Be concerned that Detroit's. They're trying to get. Detroit's trying to get it out there that they can take Adrian Peterson. They need a back.
Yeah, they definitely need a running back.
So I think that's what they're trying to do is convince Cleveland that they're going to take Peterson, and then they'll in turn let Cleveland go up and take him, and then convince who's for.
Well, since
Tampa
that they're going to take Johnson.
What I read about Cleveland was that they actually have a battle going on that the coaches want to take Peterson and the front office wants to take Brady Quinn.
And Cleveland?
I'll take Peterson.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about draft, how is the film viewing going?
Oh, we're done with that.
You're done with it?
Yeah, we've already. Fred, you ever check out Patriots.com or
podcasts? Things we've been doing over recent days?
I'm already doing the positional reviews, for Christ's sakes.
So how did it go?
Even I got a chance to take a look at four of the discs so
video
far.
Video is it's okay. We got something out of it. Could be better, but we definitely got a lot out of it.
Next year, Tom, you're
going
to work
Tom's taking
on
that over next
year. I'm going to try to get something a little bit better.
Is there anything better out there that we can get?
Well, that's what I'm going to look.
And
I'm going to look in this.
Can I put in a plug, too, for the paper? I had a chance to talk yesterday to Thomas Dimitrov, who is the college scouting director.
PFW exclusive.
Yes.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. By the time we come out, it won't be.
And,
as long as you don't read the Globe, probably.
One of the things, you know, it reminded me because Tom said he wants to try to get some different video next year, and I think that our problems with the video that we do have were confirmed by Dimitrov because he had said one of the things that they really try to do later in the process is they want their area scouts to cross-check positionally. So they're just looking at all cornerbacks in their area. So you're taking, you know, player A and you're comparing him to player B, C, and D at that spot. After you already have a pretty good wealth of knowledge with all of the guys, they think that's the best way to determine position by position. And that's how we used to get the footage was by position. You'd watch all the running backs at once so you could compare them. Now we get them by school. So you might be watching a running back and then a defensive tackle and then an offensive guard. It's a little bit different. So I think that the way that the Patriots do it, if it's good enough for the Patriots, it's good enough for us. I think we got to try to get that next year.
Well, we could load everything into a hard drive and then move it into folders, but take some work there.
We'll get to the bottom of this.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's complete. The film viewing is complete.
And last week we had inside linebackers on the web. I just finished outside linebackers. That'll be going up tomorrow. That's true outside linebackers, not your 3-4 defensive ends. These are the true.
How are you finding your evaluations match those of kind of Kuiper and our lads and all those?
I don't really read those guys that much.
No.
I don't like my opinions to be skewed. Since we're putting our opinions on the web.
No, but once you put it up there, do you go back and see now?
I don't really. Mayock is the one guy I kind of listen to. Kuiper, to me, has kind of fallen off the last couple of years. I don't really. I think he's got too many agendas going on. I think he's in bed with too many agents, and he's pushing guys that shouldn't be pushed. Because the funny thing about Kuiper, if you notice, his things will look one way, then just before the draft, all of a sudden it changes. So that tells me that he's trying to pump up people for a while. Then before the draft, he goes with what he thinks. And I don't know. I'm just not big on
Is he
going to
be on
ESPN
again this
year?
Yeah,
I guess. Well, Todd McShay's been.
He's been doing their little on-the-clock sit-downs.
So he'll be on.
I can't imagine them having Kuiper under contract and not using him for the draft.
Wasn't there a rumor last year that he was gone?
He did a huge conference call for ESPN back in when these guys were at the Combine. I listened to it, and I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah. No, he re-signed. There was some talk of him being out either last year or the year before. His contract had run out, and there was some talk, but he re-signed.
Okay.
Andy doesn't really like Mike Mayock either.
Well, it's not that I
dislike him. Tom likes
him
a lot more than Andy.
I think he's far better. I think he's very good at what he does in terms of presenting information on TV, you know, watching the tape. I feel confident that he does watch tape, that he's not just asking. But I think they all have agendas. You start to learn who they like, and they make their assessments fit the fact that they like the guy.
But I think Mayock is what Kuiper used to be, an upstart. Like, Kuiper used to really be into it, and, like, now Kuiper is so big. He's got his own radio show where he talks about all sports, and he's kind of not as aggressive as he used to be.
Assistants and people who called my wife yesterday and gave her attitude when she took the message, so we're down on him.
Yeah.
Really?
Kuiper's assistant?
Yeah.
Why are they calling you?
Why are they calling you?
I do some stuff with them for free agency.
Nothing
major. It's how we get the books for free. they basically call every city to get, you know, a local perspective on free agents lost and gained and needs. And then whatever you tell them when you read those books is word for word under Mel Kuiper thinks. But it's what we say. But, he gave my wife attitude yesterday when he called her.
Why? What?
I don't know. He just came off as a, you know, he's basically a male secretary, and you don't need to be giving people attitude.
Right.
Yeah, but our views differ somewhat from the national perspective. I mean, we're not big on Posluszny from Penn State.
Right.
You know, some people are.
Who, by all accounts, is a late first-round pick.
I think you guys might be wrong on that particular Penn State guy.
I think we're dead on.
He might be a guy that might do something in the pros.
Well, now, in my thing, I do like the best of the bunch. Now, I did put him in there, but I put him fourth. Like I said, he's a guy where I think he's kind of a second-round draft pick.
Right.
But if you're picking him in the top 20, to me that's a little bit too high. And I'm concerned, like Andy, with his – he's got very skinny legs, and it doesn't look like he can put on much weight there. Mm. And on tape you could see him getting pushed around by bigger blockers, and I'm worried about him in the NFL fighting his way through traffic.
I also think that Tom and I are kind of like you, Fred, and we're tough graders. I think if you asked us to come up with 32 first-round picks, we might not be able to do it. That we felt were really 32 first round values.
It's probably,
the NFL can't either. Really, when you every year they talk about 10, 12, 14
how weak
guys.
It is.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think that's what happens.
System and
guys
who
get
you like
needs
and
systems and all that.
Yep.
So Posluszny, I'm sure he'll be an okay player.
Let's be honest. You put Marshawn Lynch in a draft that's running back heavy. He's not the second back coming off the board, but he will
last
be.
Year.
Yeah.
Now I see him listed as a top 15 pick.
Right, but he will be
there
because
were four, right? Four first rounders last year. Am I right? Am I wrong on that?
Yeah, Maroney, Adai,
Bush, Maroney, Bush. Williams, and Adai.
Yeah,
he wouldn't have been one of those. He wouldn't have been.
So you're probably looking at a second round pick last year, who's now could be a top 20 pick based on need. So that's pretty much how it works.
All right. Other Patriots news: Mike Reese reports that Troy Brown,
John Tomasi,
is
also
still wondering whether or not he's going to play because
places.
Of the knee.
Actually, Mike Reese reported
you know,
that EEI reported
off.
The day before.
Okay.
The one thing just to read the blog item that you read to me, Fred.
Right.
The one thing I'd question is John Tomasi reported that it's a ruptured patella tendon. I find that difficult to believe.
Yeah.
I think his career is over if it's a ruptured patella tendon.
And I don't think that's the case because I think he's been I know he's been here working out in Foxborough, and I think he wouldn't be doing that if he had no intentions of trying to play.
Right.
And I just can't see him being able to play if he ruptured his patella tendon.
Okay. So we don't know the status of Troy Brown. Word about Lawrence Maroney, again, Mike Reese reporting. Maroney.
Actually, John Tomasi reporting.
Now, that one was totally John Tomasi.
And then backtracking a little bit.
But Maurice is reporting from his mother.
Mike Reese did confirm John Tomasi's report, right. So that's a
yes,
key
but
fact.
My source, Fred, now, and I've spoken to a close source of Lawrence Maroney, told me it's nothing.
And Tom's source on Maroney in the past has been very
accurate. I also heard Scott Pioli on Sirius yesterday also say, kind of jokingly, well, you heard it from his mother, he's going to be fine. So, yeah. That's good. That's good news.
Well, but the bigger issue
is the durability question.
Right, isn't just the shoulder. It's the fact that he had three injuries in a rookie season that he split carries, and now you're about to say, take it all, buddy.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, three fairly significant injuries that caused him to miss some time.
And three very different ones.
Yeah.
And I'm not really a believer that in this draft. I was going to say, in this draft, because the Patriots could go in any number of directions, if there's a running back they like particularly early, I think they might
trade down to the second round area. The only good thing about Maroney having those three injuries is the fact that he played through most of them. He actually, but he didn't opt out. He was on the field.
I don't think he's a baby. Yeah. I'm just saying you have to be concerned when somebody has.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You want him out there 100%.
And then you ask about his running style, and he's on the field more with more carries, and he's being physical, but he has a history of not being durable. Are they just going to keep creeping up because he's, you know, running through safeties on the way to the end zone? Yeah,
he doesn't run out of bounds. He's a
times,
tough runner.
And I don't
the
want him to
backs,
start doing that either.
But the great backs know when they can get out of bounds and it's appropriate and know when to turn it up and turn it into a touchdown.
Yep.
And knowing the difference between the two can extend a career greatly.
I think that whole Walter Payton drill that he talks about that he did in high school and in college or whatever is great to talk about. And I don't think that you get a lot out of turning a 25-yard run into a 28-yard run by lowering your shoulder and taking on that last tackler, which we saw him do several times, especially early in the year. Remember the opening day against Buffalo, he did it a couple of times. I think that's great, and I think the fans appreciate it, and I'm not suggesting that he should play at anywhere less than 100%. I'm not trying to say that he'd be better off not trying as hard as he can. But I'm echoing what Andy is saying. There are times that I think experience might win out here.
If I had to choose between him just hitting a hole quickly and then going for a couple extra yards, I'd rather see him start hitting those holes quicker instead of dancing the way he was toward the end of the season. But that could have been because of the injury.
You would think, you know, playing with Corey Dillon last year, he learned how to run out of bounds.
Yeah, he saw it often enough.
Well, for good. He runs out of bounds and come back in.
He gets in the open field and he's looking for out of bounds.
any word on Corey? Any interest from teams? I know he was thinking of Buffalo and then he was thinking of the Ravens, but anything happened with him?
I haven't seen
anything. The one that I thought was the closest was Philadelphia, and evidently that's out because they re-signed Buckhalter, so I'm not sure that they want him. I think that I agree with Andy. I think that he'd be crazy to sign anywhere before July. Wait to find out what team loses someone unexpectedly.
Swoop in as Superman.
One team you might want to look at, because I was just trying to look down the line, is if they're in contention, maybe Tennessee, because they're kind of putting everything on Lendale White, who's unproven, and at some point maybe they say, we need to bring in a veteran, too.
Well, I guess there's talk of Brown going back, I think.
For how long? A week? Because he's going to be injured.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking.
I think Dylan's the same kind of thing.
No, but I'm talking about, you're saying, like, wait until, like, the season starts. Say Brown gets hurt like he always does, and Lendale White's getting 2.4 yards a carry. Maybe they say, let's bring in a Corey Dillon to add some depth here and get some carries. Mm-hmm. And then, like you say, he probably makes more then than he would right now.
Is there any way that he could end up back on the Patriots after all this?
I don't know if they want him back.
I agree with Tom.
I think they played with fire. They won.
I think that's as
Let's
much.
Move on.
I think that's as much the Patriots doing as anything else. Yeah. I don't think so. But, you know, not going to rule anything out.
That could change
out
if Lawrence Maroney tears his ACL on the first day of training camp.
Of course. Then you swallow your pride.
I mean, let's not insult people here. We saw that run against the Colts where he broke free. Pretty sure Bill saw that on tape, too, and said, I got a running back who's running a 7.8 40. I mean, that should have been a touchdown.
Right, but like Paul says, at some point, the ideal guy you need goes out the window, and you just need a guy. You know
but,
what I mean?
I know, but then aren't we going back to 2005 now where they couldn't run the ball and Brady's getting killed?
Yeah, but we're certainly not going to make Sammy Morris a starter either. I mean, there's going to be teams that go, desperation, we need somebody now.
Well,
Dylan will be first in line to answer the phone, I think.
Dylan can't start, though. So basically you have Sammy Morris, just older.
I think he could be better than Sammy Morris. I think Sammy Morris is just a pure backup. I don't think you give him the ball enough to.
But at this point, isn't Dylan basically a pure backup?
I don't know. So you don't really think there's anything different between Dylan and Sammy
Morris?
Oh, no,
I think Dylan is a better
player,
but I'm just saying last year we saw him tap out after every other play. If he has to carry the load, what can we expect from him?
Yeah, I don't know.
Plus, the other thing you have to think about Dylan is he takes some time off. What kind of shape is he going to
be? Well, that's a question.
Well, that's a huge worry. And what I don't really know, because I don't know enough about Sammy Morris, and to kind of back Andy's side of this, I know that Sammy Morris can be reasonably good as a pure backup where he's going to get about 100 carries. I don't know if he's going to be good if it's closer to 200 carries.
No, I don't think
he will.
He
might be one of those guys that loses effectiveness the more times he touches it, kind of like Kevin Falk.
Right. Yeah, and he doesn't have that much effectiveness with 100 carries. Let's be honest. Right. He's only had over 100 carries, I think, once in his career. He's only had over 500 yards once in his career.
And this guy only has 100-yard game to his credit, and that was against your New England Patriots.
And it was a huge run late in the game.
And it was a garbage 100-yard game.
So you're talking about a pure backup in every sense of the word with Morris.
All right. Anything else? We're going to take a break, and then we'll get to your emails. But before
I don't think
we
you're taking a break.
No? Oh, what happened again?
I don't know, but I saw him walk out the door.
Gary just left.
He might have had to go get the food. Hopefully.
Oh, that could be.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
He didn't ask for money.
Freddie, do you have any updates? You weren't here last week because you were in China.
I was in China last week.
Everything all right over there?
China's fine. The country itself.
Did you have to chew the air to breathe it?
Why?
Was there a particular
large amount of smog? Because I've heard that about 10 different people now.
Well, I was in Beijing, and China is a Beijing is a polluted city. They do most of their energy from coal, so there's a lot of smog. You know, they rarely have a bright, bright, sunny day. It's a lot like L.A. in that respect. Although, since 1995, every year they've been moving more and more pollutant companies out to the suburbs to get them out of the city. So it's gotten better. But, yeah, it's there's a lot of smog in Beijing. And at night, sometimes you can actually smell the coal.
So let me ask you, Fred, are there, like, army people, like, walking around the streets?
There are some, and it's amazing. Wherever you look, there are people working on the highways, on the streets, putting up billboards, washing down construction, police. I mean, everyone's on the payroll. But the thing they tell you that is for every person you see in uniform doing something, there's five undercover people. So, I mean, that's what they say. Who knows if it's true? But it's really an amazing place. It's the streets, the main drags are like really wide, you know, 3-4 lanes each. And, I mean, the rule is whoever's going fastest has the right of way.
The way it should be.
It's just like zip, 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 zip. People on bikes, mopeds. I mean, all
like
over.
It.
You know, in Boston, if you were at a crosswalk in Boston and you're in a car and you got stuck in the middle, you know, all those people give you the dirty looks. They don't care. They just walk around. Cars are coming centimeters away from people, and they're not even blinking. They're not even blinking.
Do they have a lot of accidents?
Well, I guess I didn't see any, but I guess they do. And when they do,
shocker,
they just stop right in the middle of the road and they wait for the police to come to sort it out because they're very finicky. And it's just a mess. It's just a mess. I mean, and then they got these little tri-wheel motorcycles that have these basically guard shacks on them. And they drive down the side like a million miles an hour. It's crazy.
What'd you eat?
We had like 8 people at this lunch. And we had our own room at this restaurant. We had Peking duck and everything. Like 8 courses, under $100 for all of us. That's with beer. it was incredible.
That's with beer.
Yeah. How much you need, Gary? Gary's here for the food. Jesus, waping me out. I need some money. I didn't expect to pay for everybody.
You don't need money. You're rich.
I have money. I can give it to you.
I'm not giving you any.
Under $100.
You owe me a sandwich. You still haven't paid up on your bet.
Any day you want that sandwich, come over and ask me.
For Christ. You're supposed to, when you owe somebody money, you're supposed to say, hey, can I buy you the sandwich today?
Fred,
I shouldn't have to come looking for my money.
Come looking. I sit right next to you. Just say, Tom, give me that sandwich.
I got to get a lead pipe to bring it into work now?
Just because you keep forgetting about it, don't blame me.
There's a big brick upstairs on the stairway.
Yeah, I saw that.
Get that.
And by the way, the listeners should have paid anyway.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. No, but
we don't like any listeners.
I found it really fascinating. I want to go back. Obviously, the Patriots will be going back in August. But the hotel I was at was amazing. It was a Grand Hyatt. I mean, you know, it's basically a Western hotel. Everybody there is, you know, they're Chinese, but they all speak, you know, functional English.
Oh, really?
And they have a Western style breakfast buffet. The pool there is fashioned after this pool in Vegas. I don't know if it's at the Bellagio or whatever. It's huge. It's about 75 yards long, like in a indoor grotto, and it's awesome. The players are going to love it.
I'm going to love it.
Yeah.
Except for all the busyness. I don't like busy streets and too many people.
Well, that you won't love.
Are there people with machine guns?
Occasionally you'll see like a Jeep drive by with a bunch of guys with machine guns, but they're not like patrolling the streets, not at all. It's
or
not like that at all.
What I say.
What?
Or listening to what I say.
Absolutely.
They're going
not.
Somewhere to get somebody. I know that.
Say.
You just don't drive around with machine guns.
Machine guns aren't like accessories for fashion. They're usually being put to use.
They don't care about that. They don't care about that. It's just, you know, press and media.
Were you debriefed by anybody for
any
reason?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely. In fact, I had just... It was no harder getting into China, you know, as far as going through customs.
I'm not worried about getting
in. Back into America.
I'm worried about getting out of China.
It was not a problem at all. It's
if they don't let me in, I'll go home. If they don't let me out, I'm screwed.
Yeah. I mean, look, they're still doing some stuff that we don't know about with their own people. But as far as the rest of the world, they want to be viewed as part of the rest of the world. So, you know, it's not like that at all, you know.
All right.
But I'm excited about going back, and you know, I thought it was very interesting. I think everyone should get a chance to do it. All right, Gary, let's take a break. When we come back, your emails here in PFW in Progress.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points. Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac-A-Tac sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac-A-Tac sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, and Gary Gradecki in the booth. Talking Patriots here as we do every Wednesday at noon till 2 o'clock. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And as promised, I said after the break we would get to your emails, and we will. There's a ton of them coming in. People love the show. We appreciate it. They get it live. They get it podcast. They can stream it anytime they want. It's a service that the Patriots do for their fans, and we're proud to do it. So, guys are munching here, eating lunch from Papa Gino's.
Well done, Fred.
Wings, pizza, Pepsi, all sponsors. It's good. Good stuff.
Yeah, but we had to pay for it.
I had to pay for it.
Well, that's
Fred's
true.
Fred's the best boss ever today.
All right.
Today's best ever is Fred. He's the best boss ever. And not just because of the
pizza. Just another piece of pizza on that plate.
All right. Ben from Boxborough. Let's start out the emails. He says, just wondering if there's any reason to have hope for Al Wilson coming to the Pats. Would he be a good fit? I always love watching the three Bronco linebackers fly around. And Wilson obviously is the leader of that defense. Also, I know he's still in college. But all this draft talk has got me wondering what kind of prospect Steve Slayton is, and what do you think of him? Could you talk about him for a bit? And finally, thank you, Tom, for causing me to spend $2 on iTunes for the South Park episode with Butters at Gay Camp. What a waste. Just think of it as $2 that won't be going into your turkey sub with oil and vinegar and lettuce and tomato. You're welcome. And Andy, you're full of crap. LaRon Landry is a monster.
Andy, you know, you're a monster. Crap.
I won't say it. Andy, you're right. This guy is an idiot.
I agree.
I mean, if you don't think that South Park was funny, I got no use for you. And because of it, I'm not talking about Steve Slayton.
Okay.
And we didn't get your food anyway.
All right. Al Wilson, I would say, Fred, has got to be some serious injury.
Major.
You know, problems here. Looked like the deal was all but done with the Giants. Fell through at the last minute. You got to assume that it was physical. You know, he failed a physical.
And it's a neck.
Yeah, it's a major injury.
It's not a broken leg. That's a major worry.
Last week when that word first surfaced, we all looked at each other and we were amazed. How could Denver be doing this? Well, there's got to be a reason.
And well, clear, they saw something, probably said, well, we'll try and make a trade, and if they don't nix it because of physical, we'll get
away
with it.
Pat Bowlen had a reaction to that physical or apparent physical that the Giants gave him, saying, well, our doctor said he's okay. That was Pat Bowlen, the owner of the Broncos' response.
So this one wasn't for Al?
It wasn't for Al, no.
Okay.
But when you're talking about a neck injury, that's a big red flag. And he's making a lot of money. His salaries are $5 million a year. So you're trading for a guy who knows what could happen to the neck, and you're on the hook for some big coin.
Okay. So Slayton, you don't want to talk about, Tom?
Well, he's a good player, I think.
He's a speed guy.
I don't like him.
I think he's a good player. I think you have to they play that spread out offense at West Virginia. They've had a lot of success with different running backs who haven't had success in the pros. I think Slayton will have success. I don't think he's a first round draft pick, But I think he's a guy like maybe a Lorenzo Booker, who when you get him in space is going to be dynamic. So that third down type of guy. But as far as being a guy who can carry the load for you, I don't see him
he's
being that
a,
kind of
not
player.
Not a franchise back where, okay, we're set and we're going to start this guy and give him 25 carries. I think he'll be successful because of his blazing speed. But he has a ceiling in terms of value, just like we talked about Booker.
Hey, but more importantly, my father is like a 56-year-old Republican, and he thought that South Park was funnier than hell. So if you didn't think that was funny, you got no sense of humor whatsoever.
Do you not watch South Park at all?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Oh, okay. You should see it.
I do occasionally, but not. I can't say that I'm a regular viewer.
This season, they started out with two of the more offensive ones of all. I mean, what is this, the 11th or 12th season? Something.
Very funny, you guys.
It's hard to be more
two,
offensive.
There was one called With Our Apologies to Jesse Jackson, which obviously dealt with some race issues, was offensive and hilarious. And then they had one the next week that dealt with some sexuality issues and different things and was absolutely hilarious.
That's the problem. Our homophobic listeners probably were all, oh my God, it's about gay people. I mean, grow up. It's 2007.
Grow up and watch South Park.
You tell your friends you heard it on PVN.
Boy, Tom, Ken is really mad. Ken from Canton at you.
Okay. For what?
He says, I was a bit peeved after listening to this week's PFW in Progress. I thought your attack on Ben Watson was a bit childish, self-serving, and definitely off topic. You seem to waste a lot of time talking about yourself and begging for food. We listen because we want to hear about the Patriots, not any of your trials and tribulations. However, the reason I am bothering to write is because I just finished listening to Watson's press conference and what I thought was merely a selfish, childish reaction, typical of the press in Boston, by the way, became an all-out insult, especially since you intimated that you would, in the future, color your reporting on Watson with that trivial incident in mind. Imagine painting a person because he didn't live up to your image of a great tipper. Only 20%, how dare he?
Oh, shut up. Seriously, go screw yourself. I'm dead serious. We're just joking about Ben Watson being a bad tipper. You are a loser. You live your life through football players. You should be ashamed of yourself. Go spend some time with your family, you freaking loser.
Fred, what
seriously.
Was it this?
By the way, Paul, I saw the Friends last night.
I don't know. What happened? What happened?
I saw the Friends last night with Ross. Bring it down, and I couldn't stop laughing. Allison waited on Ben Watson, and it was a $23 bill, and he left her $4. So I was complaining that why wouldn't he just round it up to 30 like every other human being in the world? So Patriot, you can't say anything bad about a Patriot player, you know, because these people pretend like
it was
they know him.
$23 he left.
First,
four?
Let me tell you,
I would have left four too.
Well, you're a loser.
That's 20%.
Exactly. By the way,
and what does Fred have in common with Benjamin Watson?
Week,
they're both rich.
You know what's funny, Fred? Now that I've turned over my new leaf and I'm being kinder and gentler to you, look at this. We're in the same camp on something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but some people,
all the rich people,
some people
together.
Who aren't
yeah,
rich
I'm,
have to bust their
no,
butts.
20%? That's a good tip.
20% is 5% more than the average tip.
Right.
Well, see, first of all, I don't think so. I think average is 20%.
The problem, Andy, is that people with $1,200 vacuum.
20%.
No, that's not. That's you're
first
wrong.
Of all, neither what, of you know unless you've
yes,
done
I
a
do
study
know.
Of what waitresses get these
yes,
days.
No, I do know because actually, when you go to a restaurant, like, and if it's a party over 8 and they put it 8,
18%.
It's 15%.
It's 18%.
Okay, well, it's not 20.
Menus,
it's not
and
20.
I'm not saying
that's
what
only,
your rules are.
The only
I'm
way they would
what's average.
The only
and I'm
reason
saying
they bump
most people
it,
pay 20.
I'm not going to get in an argument on this, but the only reason why they bump it to 18 is because it's over a certain amount of work.
Right.
So it is above and beyond the average tip, which
that's
is
right.
I just didn't know you guys did this study where you know
it's
exactly
not a
what every waitress in the country
is
making.
You read every travel thing in the world. 50% is average.
I'm going by what I think people, and
right,
I think most people
get
20%.
My problem is that you guys aren't using common sense. I don't care 15%.
According to itipping.com, survey respondents say the average tip is 15 to 20.
So we're both right.
A recent survey shows that Americans most frequently tip 15% followed by 20. So 15 is
can
the
I
most
say,
frequently.
Can I say that I
right
think
here.
The three of you are all
garbage.
Stupid?
Well, all right.
You're not understanding what I'm saying, Fred. If I'm sitting there, I'm not sitting here going, what's 20%? What's 15%? If it's $23, I usually just round up to 30 and say, if they were a good, you know, a good server and say, there you go.
And it'd leave
I just don't. But the point is that
what?
There's nobody I hate more than Corey Dillon. Corey Dillon is a scumbag. I always thought he was, and I still think he is. And yet, I still wrote a story saying he should be in the Hall of Fame. So I don't think my
That's the part of the email that I take exception with. And I don't remember. I don't remember every single thing that you guys said last week. Even though I disagreed with you and Andy, I don't remember every single thing that you guys said about the situation. But I don't definitely don't remember ever even an intimation of you clouding the way you would. In the future, write about Benjamin Watson.
Ever.
I don't ever remember that. That's and if it was said, it was completely misinterpreted and it was tongue-in-cheek. There's no way that we would cloud the way.
And once again, I'll say these fans, you have to relax. It's pro football. It's a sport. We joke around on here. We kid. Do you honestly think I brought this to the – this whole thing was just a joke.
It was
about
very,
Ben Watson
it was very
being
much
a bad
tongue-in-cheek.
Tipper. And these people are taking it serious, comparing it to him going to Iraq. That's a bunch of crap. You should be ashamed for even writing that email. Ashamed.
All right.
What did it have to do with Iraq?
Well, because Benjamin Watson went to Iraq, it means he's not – cheap, I guess. I mean, I don't really get the correlation, but
okay.
I mean, if you thought he was cheap, I don't see what. I mean, I like I said, I disagreed with you guys.
I look
last
at
week,
it
but
as
if
maybe
you thought
he took
he
advantage
cheap,
of the army for a free vacation in Iraq
for an opportunity to travel. Absolutely, you couldn't do that. You couldn't make that stretch.
Not sure Iraq would be the place you'd
target. No, I think what he did was great, and I think that him talking about it, he was fantastic. Fred, you missed that too. I don't think you were around for that,
right.
Were you? He was absolutely fantastic in talking about his experiences over there and just. How serious it was, and he was. I mean, you saw the photos that we had on Patriots.com. He was down and dirty with
they had flap jackets
the fatigues
on.
He was all dressed up, and it was great. I mean, it was listening to him talk about that was about a half hour of very entertaining.
He also looked like a badass. Did you see those photos? He had the sunglasses on
and
the army helmet.
Well, you guys would make
he looked like a movie guy.
Have you ever seen his build? I don't know, but
not to stare like you do.
I'm pretty impressed with it.
You guys would make fun of me. I haven't worn it yet, but
you have a panda shirt.
A general from the Air Force. He gave me an Air Force leather jacket with my name on it. Air Force Reserve for the stuff the cheerleaders do. So it's pretty cool. I haven't brought it in yet, though, because I know you guys will make fun of me.
No question.
And by the way, if he doesn't like if he doesn't like the Boston media, stop reading it then. Read ESPN. Stop listening. Go listen somewhere else. I'm sick of hearing about that. If you don't like it, don't listen. Don't read it. You know, have some intelligence.
Tom really, really got upset about this email.
I'm just sick of the whole Boston media.
Never use that signal.
You know what? Hey, log on.
I used it at the beginning.
No, hey, if you don't like the Boston media, then don't read it. Don't listen to it.
But we need the media. They're our gatekeepers of information.
Well
evidently,
doesn't like it.
Evidently, I'm wrong about that because that's what I always thought. But evidently, there's a lot of people out there that don't want the information. They just want the positive information.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not using Ben Watson as an example.
They
this
know
was a
how
silly
many plays Jabari
this,
Gaffney was in
yeah,
on for
this,
for,
this,
for,
this was a silly
game against
this
Buffalo.
Was a silly thing that we were talking about last week and having fun with. I'm not talking about Benjamin Watson's tipping as being information. But
speaking of Jabari Gaffney, Brian from Steep Falls, Maine says, "I just want to start this email talking some sense into the Gaffney supporters, although it probably won't do much good. It seems as though you guys have explained it from every single angle you can, and yet here I am writing an email telling these guys to shut it. Jabari Gaffney is not the quality receiver that this team is looking for. The way that Gaffney should be looked at is in the same light that Doug Mankiewicz is now, a guy that we picked up during the season to fill a need, someone who made some nice plays during
such
some key times and made the fans smile, but not someone who can realistically fill the spot for an extended period. Football players should be judged by their body of work and the consistency of their progression as a player. To give all these great superlatives to a guy who had two good games with a great quarterback throwing to him and no one covering him is ridiculous."
Yeah, and Paul says it best. If Bill Belichick was so enamored with Jabari Gaffney, what are they doing going out trading for receivers, signing every receiver under the sun? Listen, he knows what he needs. They needed receivers. They went out and got them. That means Jabari Gaffney is going to have to fight to make this team.
Right. On another note, says Brian, "Guys, the next time I'm actually awake to listen to the show, I work third shift, I'll send the men of the show some buffalo wings, pepperoni pizza, and Tom shall receive his turkey sub with a side of shame." Just kidding. You guys are great, and I love the sophomoric aspect to the show. It separates you from every other mundane show out there.
See, so screw that last email.
So we got one guy on our side.
Hey. And when are you going to be awake and sending food?
We got a lot of people.
He works third shift.
Side.
A lot of guys
actually
work hard in this
you
world.
You can call it in ahead of time. You don't have
hard,
to be awake.
Hard work.
Yeah.
We're the biggest thing going on the internet today.
Woo!
Operates the show
after porn.
Menkowitz.
Menkowitz.
Craig says, "Hello, A Team and Mrs. Welker. That must be me for defending Wes Welker. I've been checking all kinds of mock drafts, and I would love it if the Pats tried to trade up and get Landry, but they probably won't, and I doubt that Willis will fall to them. So, with that said, the way I see it, they may have a stab at the DBs out of Texas, Ross and Griffin." I don't know what the likelihood that they would take both, but they seem like quality players. From what I hear, Griffin is a good hitter, very athletic, but on occasion will miss a tackle going for a big hit. Ross has good game speed and is also a good hitter. Both have the ability to make contributions to special teams in the kick and return, kicking and blocking game. They both have big game experience and have felt pressure before since they were in a national championship game. Would they fit with the Pats? And P.S., Tom and Paul did an excellent job last week.
Well, thank you.
Wow.
Andy, you weren't on the show last week?
I don't know.
Yes, he was, Fred.
Who was that loser?
Craig from Boxborough.
Some drunk. Oh, yeah. He lives in Boxborough.
You hate Craig from Boxborough.
Cool.
What's the matter with Boxborough? It's a very nice town.
He doesn't like Craig, though.
It's in an area of the state that Andy knows nothing about, so he just goes, he lives in Boxborough.
Right. His mom lives in Boxborough.
Well, we all like Griffin from Texas. One guy I'm really starting to fall in love with and like and thinking more and more is Lamar Woodley. You know, I'm not into this whole, well, he doesn't cover much. How much does Roosevelt Colvin cover? Does anyone know? Can anyone answer that? I think we fall too much in love with the Mike Vrabel. How many Mike Vrabels are there that can cover and do all the stuff, play inside, play outside? I think a lot of guys are more like Colvin. And this Woodley, if you're sitting there at 24 or 28 and he's still on the board and you tell me the Patriots pick on value, there's not going to be a more valuable player on the board than Lamar Woodley because he's a heck of a football player.
Well, that's the thing, too. And I do think that they pick on need as much as anybody and as much as anything else. You do have to. But if there's a guy like Woodley, you know, that just slips down.
Bill can get his hands on it.
Whether you think that you – I mean, I think it also fills a need because I think you need more linebackers inside or out. But there's no – it's just like Vince Wilfork. I mean, when you have a player that, in my opinion, at that stage of the draft would be at least a couple of pegs higher than any other position, you have to take him.
Yeah.
You can't pass up a guy even if you feel like you're okay with Vrabel and Colvin on the outside. You can't.
And it's also like Wilfork in that – there was no guarantee that Vince Wilfork was going to be a great two-gap, 3-4 nose tackle after shooting the gap to
Miami. That's another good point.
He made plays. He was a good player. His value, you were fortunate to get him where he was. Woodley, if you watch his highlights, watch his games, he's tremendous. I don't know whether he's going to be a great outside linebacker or how they'd use him, but he can play football.
He's a football
player. They'll do something with him.
They'll do something, and I guarantee you it involved him hitting quarterbacks, making plays in the backfield, forcing fumbles, doing things that fans will say, you know what, not sure what exactly to make him, but he's good.
And if you say, like, well, they got Thomas, okay, but how many more years does Colvin and Vrabel have left, too? You know what I mean?
Or Thomas.
You bring a guy like Woodley in, he's in a rotation now, then maybe in a year or two you got a Pro Bowl player.
Right. Yeah, no question that there's no depth there, there's no youth. They still have to target linebacker at some point.
And I said it. I made the comment again. Working on this, the draft preview, of the draft section. We've been saying it, you know, at PFW for more drafts than we would care to kind of recount. You know, linebacker has to be a focus, and yet they have never taken one in the first day. At some point,
we'll be right.
I think that
Willis
are going to be good this year.
What is it?
Willis
even a broken
to be
clock
where
is
they
right
are.
Twice
They'll
a day.
Them,
yeah.
But I just think it. A lot of it has to do with the guys available when they were picking.
No, I agree with you, Fred. Yeah. And I think at some point, whether the perfect guy is available or not, you know, maybe Woodley is not the perfect guy because of the questions that Tom and Andy brought up. At some point, I think you have to bite the bullet and take a guy because you need to get that position, which is so important in this defense, a little bit younger and a little bit more skilled.
All right, Chris is from Virginia, and he admits he's a Chiefs fan. He says, I think the Patriots will be good this year. They got some real additions to help them and are easily the favorite to win the Super Bowl this year. Not. Larry Johnson is a monster disguised as a man.
From Borat. Has
Who is
seen
Lawrence
Borat?
Maroney to him? Nobody. Your offensive line is above average. How many Pro Bowl offensive lines do you guys have this year? Oh, my bad. Just one. P.S. Who's Tom Brady's favorite receiver? Greg Wesley, 3 interceptions back in 05. Write it down.
Boy, that is a terrible email. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's pretty bad.
I love it. The guy took the effort to listen to our show
and
email in.
The funny thing is that any year you could make fun of the Patriots offensive line, but the year they actually get a Pro Bowler in, that's what he's making fun of. I just, what do the Chiefs do?
I don't know. They have a bad head coach.
They have an old team. They have a bad head coach. They really have no quarterback to speak of.
That guy right there is part of the best thing that the Chiefs have going for them, and that's their fans.
Their fans, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where they're the best
in the
NFL.
You got good fans, you got nice uniforms, you got a good running back other than
that. A cool mascot, too, and whoever does their day of game entertainment, phenomenal. They need a raise.
I think I read one of the
Gary, take notes.
One of the emails that comes after that one, I think that guy was a friend of
a
loyal
say,
PFW in
progress. As Fred was reading that email, Andy turned to me and said, why is he listening to our show then?
No offense. I think we're great and everybody should listen, but we're kind of, you know, Patriots specific.
We are
not
a niche
according
audience.
To Fred, we're everything but Patriots.com.
That's
so this
true.
Guy fit right in.
Fred, you got a big chunk of something on your cheek.
Jeez. On my cheek?
That's a sound bite waiting.
That one guy who thinks we're too dirty is going to be very upset.
I missed out on that.
Is that hair gel?
Nope.
Get one of those.
Oh, jeez.
Karthik says, what a great productive offseason so far. The shows are getting more interesting, though it's a shame that I could listen to only the recorded ones. The best thing, as always, that I could appreciate is the fact the PFW team always gives honest opinions and never tries to defend all decisions just because Patriots made them.
Except look at Fred, that douchebag.
Fred being an exception, but I guess any knowledgeable listener will not treat him seriously.
Think that's right that you're taking those kinds of shots at Fred.
I think Paul is getting undue criticism for exposing Frank on the show. Now, I don't know who Frank is. I think he means Fred. Frank on the show, I listened to that segment at least 3 times, repeatedly was talking nonsense. Walker can never be a great guy. I think he means welcome.
Frank and Walker.
I do not believe in
this guy's losing credibility.
I do not believe in the fact that Bill having great plans for him. He is going to be mediocre, and don't pin too high hopes on him. So anyway, he talks about everybody else too, and I will just skip over it. I just wanted to let people know that even when they make fun of Frank, I read it.
There you go, Fred.
Good
you
job, Frank.
I think you do a great job of reading those emails verbatim, by the way.
I should.
How did you say?
I don't want to misinterpret somebody.
Monkowitz.
You
just keep doing what you're doing, Frank.
Mankiewicz.
We appreciate all your hard work.
Hey, what do you guys think of
Frank the Tank?
What did you guys think of Drew Rosenhaus yesterday with the Briggs situation? I thought it was
I didn't really see it.
Yet another in the comedy of errors that is Drew Rosenhaus.
I don't know about comedy errors. Guy gets his clients a lot of money.
Yeah, well, I think he's a clown.
I think he's a clown, too. And you know what? I think I'd hire him because I think he'd get me a lot of money.
I thought it was funny. He came out yesterday. He was down in Phoenix. He had had a meeting with Jerry Angelo down there at the owners' meetings. And he said, like, in 3 different ways, what a great job the Bears have done. What a brilliant move it was to franchise Lance Briggs, because rather than put yourself in a position like, say, Baltimore with a Dallas Thomas, you know, and you lose the guy for nothing, really Jerry Angelo is primed the team so they can get as much as a number 6 pick in the draft in exchange for Lance Briggs, so you don't just lose such a great player for nothing in return. And what a great job the Chicago Bears did. It was nauseating. I mean, it was so transparent of what he's trying to do.
6 pick is the Redskins?
Yes. So transparent. It was ridiculous.
Hey, did anyone get to see Peyton Manning on Saturday Night Live?
No, I
saw some
Saturday
clips. I don't watch Saturday Night Live, but I did see some clips of it. It was pretty good.
By all accounts, he was funnier than Brady.
Tom's stripper friend from New Hampshire writes in. He says,
I like that guy.
There's a first-hand account of a guy who was at the show, a guy named Josh from Suffern, New York. You know where Suffern
is? I know where Suffern is, yes.
Okay. He says, I attended last night's Saturday Night Live dress rehearsal where Lorne Michaels decides what sketches and jokes to keep and which to dump. Anyway, during Peyton's monologue, Amy Poehler was dressed in a Patriots jersey and heckled Peyton, saying, what does Tom Brady and the circus have in common? They both have 2 more rings than you. Peyton stared right back and said, that's not the only thing he'll have two more of. Meaning the babies, I guess.
Oh, nice.
I'm not sure if the rest of the audience got the reference, but unfortunately they dumped it from the live broadcast.
Come on down to Tom Brady's Falafel City.
That would have been good.
Yeah, they probably did dump it, but they did have a version of that when Manning talked about going to a hospital in Boston.
Oh, yeah, 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 but not the
and had
last
the whole,
part.
The whole joke about the rings. Manning, you know, took the shot at himself, actually.
Of course, a Patriots fan could say there's other things like balls or, I mean, whatever. There's other things that Brady has that Manning
two of them, yeah. Well, can't say that anymore, though. You know, he won it. It's
like
over now.
It's over.
Like
it's
boobs.
Over.
Yes.
I mean, Colts fans could argue that Brady had little to do with that first Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Right,
so it's,
right.
There's arguments both. Now that Manning has won a Super
yeah,
Bowl,
now it's more of an even
it.
Thing.
It's
now
over.
It's head-to-head rivalry.
What
maybe
I find funny about
no one
is,
having an advantage.
What I always, and you know, Fred, you and I have always battled on this. And
Wes Welker?
No, the whole thing with, you know, like you need to win to be validated. Like if you're a Patriots guy and you legitimately thought that Peyton Manning wasn't a good quarterback, you should still think he's not good. Why? Because he won
one,
a Super Bowl.
One game
that change
shouldn't
it.
Change.
Right.
A game that he didn't really play all that well.
Now, obviously, I think the four of us have all along pretty much thought that there is an aspect to the choker thing that
no
I think
question.
Is still on play, is still in play with Manning. But I think we all four would admit that he's a great quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And that might have left somewhat in the second half of that Patriot game. The choke. Maybe he finally got over that being a choker hump.
Some of
when,
it,
still,
but still, some still there. Threw a lot of interceptions in the postseason.
No, I know, but I'm just saying
amazing.
He had that game where he brought his team
no,
back
no
to the you know the next level.
No
so
doubt.
Maybe in the future that goes away.
Right.
We'll have to
there
see.
Weren't many people in Indianapolis that day that thought the Colts could win when it was 21-3. And – you know, so you can't face much more adversity than that.
No.
And he
I
kind of
having
think
already
he was one
thrown
of them,
a pick for a touchdown. And,
right.
Yeah.
I still think he was one of them because I still don't like how he handled himself on the sideline at the end and head in his hands. And
but that was after he had already. But that's
air.
After he had already done what he needed
oh,
to do.
I know,
do.
But that's what I'm saying.
There's a difference.
You say there's not a lot of people that thought they could win. I think he was. I think he expected to lose that.
Well, he
game.
Was expecting something
I think
bad
he has
to
loser
happen.
Loser mentality.
Yes, I totally agree.
I think
with
they
totally
just said, you know what, we're going to go after Eric Alexander and let the chips lie where they
no, I know, but I'm just saying right at the end. I think right in the end, he's still saying, yeah, I'm sure we're going to lose this. He was like a New England fan watching the Red Sox for 85
right.
years.
But I don't think that's the same as saying that he is, you know, he choked. I mean, when you have a loser mentality, that's not necessarily a choker.
But I think the loser mentality led to him choking in the past.
I do agree with your assessment, however. I think that he was expecting the worst as he was on the sideline.
I wouldn't. Yeah, I still have some doubts about him. I think he's a great quarterback.
I agree, but that's my point. I think all four of us think he's a great quarterback. But if you thought that he wasn't, I
right.
don't see why you should change your opinion now.
Right.
I really don't.
Elliot from Philly writes in, I read that Reggie Nelson has struggled academically throughout his career, playing at a JUCO before Florida, and even having trouble making the grade while playing with the Gators.
Wait,
do you think this could... What?
You're trying to tell me that a guy who plays football at the University of Florida
yeah.
struggled academically?
Yeah. Right.
I got news for you. There's a couple of them over at LSU who are struggling academically. Too.
Well, because of that, he's asking if Griffith from Texas is a more solid choice than Nelson.
I don't think so, because all you have to do is know how to learn a playbook. This is... I don't think the Patriots don't care about your GPA. They
right,
really don't.
Right.
If you can show them you can dissect a playbook, understand what you're doing on the field, I think all the other
yeah.
stuff
the
is
Patriots, when graduating college becomes a requirement,
yeah.
maybe we'll think about it, but it's not.
I
so.
Mean, most of them don't,
right?
Right. And the other part of that is that the Patriots in the last 5, 6, 7 years have had plenty of guys who scored between, you know, 32, 33, and 40 or so on the Wonderlic, and they've had plenty of guys that have been around, you know, 8 or 9 to 15.
Right.
You know, this again. There's
difference
no
difference between football
rules.
Intelligence and mm-hmm. academic.
It's like
intelligence.
The movie The Program when the guy doesn't know anything and then he's sitting in the film room and they're
right.
asking him, you know, Mac, what do you do here?
The
and he's going, yeah,
and
he's
that's
going,
what Bill
he's,
wants.
Yeah. Elliot also says, why is it that during the intro it's always stated that Lori might be stopping by? Lori has never stopped by.
She
ever.
Has. That's not true.
In fact, if she stepped foot into the studio, all you knuckleheads would be speechless, except for Tom, who would be just mumbling like about LaRon Landry, like Dustin Hoffman and Rain Man. But he does that even when Lori isn't around. Just kidding, Tom. You're my favorite. I got your back when Ben Watson comes after you for calling him a cheap bastard.
You do join Dick for a little while.
Who is that from?
Elliot from Philly.
Lori has stopped by like twice.
Probably. Yeah, she
has. Well, more than twice.
You do join Dick for a little while.
Just for the record, I do like Ben Watson. I think he's a nice guy. He's not like Willie McGinnis or Corey Dillon, two guys who were idiots when they were here.
I thought you were going to say, just for the record, I do like women.
Corey Dillon and who?
Willie McGinnis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
two of the bigger jerks.
Not a big fan.
Along with another one that I won't mention until he retires.
Russell from the OC says, happy spring. I thought it was great news that the Patriots won't be playing on that opening Thursday or on Thanksgiving. By the way, that is good news, isn't it?
Well, the Thanksgiving thing is very good news for us. There's no doubt about
that. I never really thought they were going to play on Thanksgiving.
There was a chance.
It was a 50-50
shot. No, I know, but see, the thing is with the NFL, you have a built-in audience for Thanksgiving Day. So basically they want one team that they can sell in each game. You already have the Cowboys to sell, so you just put the Jets in there. Now you take the Patriots and Cowboys, you throw them on Monday night, you have another game to sell.
Right.
The opening Thursday night game. You know, the Patriots-Colts, traditionally, like when the Giants and San Fran were huge rivals back in the day, you want that as a November Sunday night game now because that's the key time. Yeah. So,
okay.
I think the bigger reason that the Patriots didn't open up the Thursday is the China.
Yeah,
I think that the NFL looked at that and said, they're going to be coming back. Let's keep Seattle in New England. Let's make sure they open up on the regular Sunday like everybody else to give them a
little.
But
don't you also think that everyone's going to watch that Thursday night
game
absolutely. Anyway?
I think you make
good
points.
So we just give them a decent
points.
Opponent in the Saints, and then we'll take the November 8th, and we'll throw the Colts and Patriots on primetime, and boom, you have the biggest game of the year.
Let's see. Hopefully they get the Monday night snub as well. Having read the news on Maroney and the Herald, I trust Mr. Bill hasn't erased Dylan's number from his cell phone. I just hope this isn't a sign that Maroney might not be so durable. Do you think they might now look for a running back in this draft, or is the field too weak? Lastly, what is the timetable they have to sign Samuel to a contract or for him to accept the franchise contract? Thanks for the time. Great show as always, and I hope you'll join me in keeping a petition to keep Gisele Bündchen out of the United States from September through February. Her I can't say it, power seems to corrupt the clear thinking and ability of the Patriot Nation's leader.
Why can't you say that?
You almost said it.
You've said a lot worse.
You certainly have.
I can't do that.
No, I agree.
I'm shocked that he filtered it.
Really?
It rhymed with noon.
Oh. I thought it rhymed with wussy.
So did I.
Means the same.
That was... Good job, Frank.
Thanks, Tim.
We've thought all along the Patriots might draft a running back.
Yeah.
It hasn't really changed based on the Maroney thing. We've thought all along they could go one of two directions, a backup running back or a third down running back. Yeah. So
and
I'm thinking more toward a third down running back.
Yeah, I do too, and I was just going to say, I know Andy doesn't want to hear it, but I still think the guy is going to be Darius Walker.
Ooh.
Because I think he does a lot of what you said. It's like watching a younger Kevin Falk
on
tape.
It is.
And if you're looking for a guy to replace Falk, why not get someone who does the exact same things that he does?
The trouble is, Kevin Falk in college was really good. Kevin Falk became the Kevin Falk I see now where I say, well, he's not that fast. He's not that good, but he gets me the yards I need.
After
in college,
he
was great.
Right. Yeah. It's after he broke his ankle when he was a rookie. He never regained the speed, I didn't think.
So I'm looking at Walker and saying, I don't think he's all that good in college.
I
put him up to the next level, and I'm going to say, I bet you he won't be that good.
But if you're taking a running back in the fourth or fifth round, other than that, you're going to have to go. They're going to have to try to get a second round pick or a third round pick to get the guys we're talking about in your Bookers and your Hunts. And, I mean, taking a draft pick on Antonio Pittman is just wasting time.
Yep.
So then you're just getting into a bunch of mid round guys. And if you look at it that way, Walker's probably the more likely candidate than someone, you know, that
there's a chance
they don't have insight.
I just won't like it.
Okay.
We'll blog it.
And I'll rip it.
I'll let you guys go at it on that one.
TG and NJ says, decades of hate by Paul, Mr. Media Perillo.
I saw this one upstairs. Pretty funny.
He says, Paul's team to hate.
Why can't I say the word decade? Boy, Frank, you're struggling.
Decade by decade. I just want to make sure I have this right. 1950s Baltimore Colts. You didn't like them in the 50s?
Well, I wasn't alive.
Oh, you weren't around then?
It's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek here.
Ryan?
60s were the Green Bay Packers.
Again, no knowledge whatsoever.
70s were the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Definitely hated Pittsburgh in the 70s.
80s were the 49ers.
That is also accurate.
90s was the Cowboys.
He's always hated
that
the Cowboys.
That is also accurate.
In the 2000, of course, were the Patriots.
That is also accurate. That is inaccurate.
2000,
that is inaccurate, but very funny.
2010s would be the Jets, maybe. Still the Pats or the Cardinals, maybe.
Cardinals. Ooh. It'd be tough to hate the Cardinals if they got good.
I'm just playing with you, Paulie. Maybe we can get NFL Films to make a series and show it on the NFL Network. Decades of Hate, hosted by Paul, Mr. Media Barilla.
That's good stuff. I like that.
Call comes to us direct from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
Seems Maroney's...
I'm going to have that expunged from the system.
Seems Maroney's durability is a concern in the Draft Prospect podcast. You guys covered the running back issue. If the Patriots do not find a back in the draft, what then? Free agents, waivers, where does the team go to fill the need? They have Maroney, Morris, Falk, Evans, fill in the blank. Last year, it was all about the two-headed monster. I guess this year, it's all about the eight-headed receivers. And what do you think will happen with Troy Brown?
I don't think there's much left to do at running back unless, like you said, Dylan comes back or something like that.
They could go into the season with what they have right now.
And then probably sign one of those street guys if something happens.
We've seen that happen enough. I mean, Mike Cloud was a nobody, then he was here making plays, then he was a nobody
again.
There
was a guy on the team that used to be a nobody by the name of Heath Evans.
Right, we've
still
seen it enough
now
times.
Now he's a mortgage broker.
Now he's a mortgage broker who played in the NLF.
Go ahead.
I mean, we've seen them. It's funny because at times it seems like they don't really care about the running back position. They think they can just plug a guy in and have success.
It's like one Michael Felger says, spread them out.
Maybe.
Spread them out.
Going to spread them out? You don't need all these running backs.
Well, I think that they also looked at wide receiver, like you're talking about there, too. And clearly, they decided to do something different this year. I think last year they felt like there was value at running back, and that's why they took Maroney. I think that they don't look at positions necessarily black and white. They look at the player at a position, and then they try to make a determination of which suits them best.
But the guys that they've had at running back, I mean, who was that guy who scored a touchdown that was a real jerk in Arizona? He scored...
Rabbi Abdullah?
Dan
Pico. I mean, the guys that have scored touchdowns for this team over the last 5 years, you could put together a list, I think, and say, holy crap. And I think, to some degree, if they're not all that worried about it, then they go in like this, and I think they always say, well, we can find a running back. It's like defensive backs. They always find defensive backs.
This team has shown that the actual scoring of the touchdown means so much less than how you got there.
And I think they think Tom Brady will get them close enough.
Yeah.
And then Heath Evans or somebody will plug it in.
Well, it won't be Heath Evans.
I don't think
0 for 9 at most.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that he's a very good short yardage guy. He has not been very successful at the goal line. Maybe I should say goal line.
Garrett Mills.
Oh, come on.
Just going to throw a guy out there.
So you take the smallest guy you can think of?
Anybody. It's not the size of the dog in the fight, Paul.
Let's see. Dwayne says Tom Casale.
Is that a Dartmouth saying?
Tom Casale for ambassador to China. That could work.
Yeah, I could definitely run a communist state.
Dwayne says, I want to take a moment to defend Fred. Is that allowed?
No.
No, it's Frank.
What do you mean, Frank?
Frank.
I don't share Fred's enthusiasm that Wes Welker will be a big-time player in this system, but I think he adds one element to the wideout core that was sorely missed last year, and that's consistency. The Pats sorely need a dependable receiver, and Stallworth and Washington are known for a lot of things, but consistency isn't one of them. Wes Welker is not the big play every game guy, but the guy who is consistent and will bring it every game, occasionally breaking a big play. With contributions from at least two other wideouts, I expect Wes Welker to be a big piece of the puzzle, similar to Brown in 03. If he can keep up a performance similar to that for the duration of the contract, I think his contract and the pick are well worth it. Also, I have one question. What the hell are Miami and Buffalo doing with their teams? Wes Welker and McMichael were the only consistent members of Miami's passing game, and they're gone. They signed Joey Porter, which improves their defense, but to no benefit because they still have an offense that will keep them on the field for 40 minutes a game. And the Bills, man, they are just comical. Pats and Jets are guaranteed for the playoffs this year just because the rest of the division chose to spot them four games.
Well, the old Paul would probably take a, a lot of offense to this, but I'm going to let Tom do it.
Yeah, the new Tom's going to do it. first of all, saying that Wes Welker is that much more consistent than Kelly Washington, I think is comical because he's only had really 1 year where he produced. Saying him and McMichael were the only threats in the passing game.
They had Booker, four receivers, and those are probably the weakest, too.
Yeah, Booker was good, and Chambers is by far and away the best player on that offense. If Tom Brady was thrown to Chambers, the guy would be unstoppable.
Right.
And there was something else in there he said I didn't like.
There
Did
was
you
a
catch
lot
it, Andy?
Of
well, the one thing that I would say, new Paul or old Paul, is the consistency factor with Wes Welker. Okay, I think we all admit he was a good little player that we all liked. Okay, we thought he did some good things, but consistency. He had 67 catches last year. He had 9 against the Patriots in the first game. How many do you have in the second game?
One for minus one yard.
Is that consistent?
And the big plays. He'll break a big play,
and
win.
And again, I'm not saying that he's not a good player. I think he is a good player. My only concern for the Patriots is did they give up too much to get him, both in compensation and in salary? And, you know, time will have to tell to see, you know, see if that works out. But I just think that we're making him out to be a little bit more than he is. And to say that he was the one consistent threat in Miami last year?
That's just
I don't think that's true. I think he had plenty of games with 2 and 3 catches and a few others with 6 or 7.
Plus, I thought Rishay Caldwell was pretty consistent last year in New England. 4 catches for
20 yards.
He was basically the Wes Welker of New England.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I think they what they lacked, I thought, was top-end talent
big
and playmaking.
Yeah, and they got that with, I believe, Dante Stallworth,
right.
Not Wes Welker. That was the big sign.
Wes Welker will be a major contributor
and that's,
to this
all
team.
Right. And that's the other part, the
that's
other
enough,
part
Frank.
Of it. The
yeah,
other well. Part of it is with Stallworth now. I think that makes Welker much better.
Right.
Without Stallworth, I think you're going to look at he would have been a major.
Welker said it himself.
Who do you think made Welker better in Miami? It was Chambers.
Chambers.
They got
no
three
question.
Guys on Chambers and one guy on Welker. That's why he was open.
Well, I mean, we all remember
football
that
is a team sport, guys.
The nine right. catch game. That
everybody makes everybody either better or worse.
No, but Chris Chambers is much better than Wes Welker, and anybody who thinks different does not watch the game
so
of football.
So what? Chris so Chambers. What?
He's the guy drawing the double teams that lets Welker
exactly.
get open.
Okay. That's what we're talking
well,
about.
Well, Tom Brady's a better quarterback than anyone they had passing in Miami
right.
last year.
Exactly. Right.
So that does that make Welker better?
No, but Dante Stallworth will.
Well,
and if they didn't have
does
Stallworth.
Does Tom Brady make Wes Welker better than he was
makes
in
anybody
Miami?
Better.
Okay.
I think
but
it
works
make
for
him,
everybody.
But
Frank,
make
you're not making
worth
a point.
That's not the same pick. That's
and $18 million.
And
we've never said that Wes Welker does not deserve to be on an NFL football field.
Right. And that's
we
not
never
the same,
said that.
That's not the same thing what you're saying. Yes, yeah, so I think that anybody would be better. The better the quarterback, the better the receiver would be. But that's the same of everybody.
Right.
You know, I think we saw that with Caldwell
well,
and
if you
Gaffney
have a good wide
year.
Receiver next to you, that makes you better. Naturally it does. Anybody.
But not,
so
because
not just Wes Welker.
But what
no,
are you arguing?
Fred, we're talking about what the kind of attention the guy would get. If you didn't have Stallworth, then people might look at Welker and say, we need to take him out of the game, like the Patriots did in Miami.
Like the Patriots have done, you know, in the past, not recently, but to Marvin Harrison.
But they weren't unable to
do that.
Doesn't
make Marvin Harrison not a good receiver.
You know what happened in the difference between the first half and the second half of the game in Foxborough when Welker caught 7 of his 9 passes in the first half? You want to know what happened?
They took him out.
Why?
Because he was
Marty Booker got hurt, Fred.
And he was the only guy
and
that could
catch
a pass.
There was no one else they had to worry
right.
about. No, he's not the only guy that could catch a pass.
On Miami that day, yes.
No, well, only after Booker
exactly,
got hurt.
Exactly, Paul.
But that's...
Any team...
Right.
Any team that focuses on one player can take him out.
Right. So, but if you do that to a guy
home.
Like, say, I don't know, Deion Branch, a lot of teams try to do that too, they weren't unable to do that. For parts of times. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. They do it to Chris Chambers. He's the only guy that can be an all-around threat for Miami, yet he finds a way to catch whatever many passes every year.
I'm sure Welker benefited from having Chris Chambers as the receiver, you know, because he was, you know, the guy that they focused on, so Welker became, you know, got open. I don't think Welker, I never said Welker was a number two or even a number, or number one receiver. I never said that.
I'm not, I am... I mean,
I don't think
intentionally
you have to,
not arguing this.
I don't think Welker needs to be a one or two receiver to be a major contributor to the
okay.
Patriots this
well,
year.
That's just a philosophical difference of opinion then, because I think if you're a major contributor, you're more than a spare part.
Oh, I didn't say he was going to be that.
Beyond the word major, whatever you think that is, we've always talked about: do you trade a second round pick, a seventh round pick, and hand $18 million to whatever you think he's going to be, a third receiver, a fourth receiver? A special teamer. That's the question.
Maybe in this new environment with the salary cap, what they gave him doesn't have the same value as what it used to have.
But I saw the Jets trade swap of second-round picks or whatever for a franchise-type running back, a 1,000-yard rusher. Right?
So,
I mean, that's the comparison, right?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's what the value is that the teams put on these guys.
I'm with Frank. I think Welker's going to be big.
He thinks he's going to be Marvin Harrison. I compared him to him.
I don't want the emails to come. I think Welker's going to be a fine player for the Patriots. I just don't think he's going to be as big an impact as Frank does. That's the only thing that we disagree about. Honest to God, that's the only thing we disagree about. I think he'll be fine, and I don't think anybody's going to be lamenting that signing.
I've got the giggles.
Frank's getting ready to fire somebody.
one more person calls me Frank, and they're out.
I think we're all pretty much agreed on them.
Let's see. Who's up next? Matt from Dover, New Hampshire, says, thanks for answering my Dave Thomas email.
What? The emailer of last week, I believe, Matt from Dover.
Oh, yeah. And still the reigning emailer of the week.
Reigning emailer of the week. Tremendous.
Why
bought
us lunch?
Did he?
Matt?
He's the one who bought us lunch.
Best emailer of this week and last week.
I guess you guys were talking about Dave Thomas. He said, you guys were absolutely right. Paul and Annie summed it up perfectly. I almost answered my own question at the start by saying, in the Patriots' two tight end offense, you need three good tight ends. I come for the knowledge. I stay for the laughter. You guys are incredibly funny, especially Tom. His commentary for people he doesn't care for is like Roman Gladius, short and stabbing.
I don't know who that is, but if it's funny, that's me.
What are you, Muhammad Ali?
Chuckling?
The quote, maybe the Redskins are stupid, makes me laugh so hard. It also applies to the question, do you think the Redskins would trade for Lance Briggs? He tells it like it is. Within seconds of the topics, when the topics start, I know exactly what to think of the Penn State middle linebackers. They're garbage. On a different note, I had forgotten Fred was not going to be there when I first sent the email. Not wanting to make him feel left out, I'm buying him his own pizza. Now I remember a story about you guys eating pizza in front of Tom, who doesn't, and making him jealous. So I'm sending along Tom's favorite sub. All I ask in return is to give Felger, I guess, a shot before the end of the show. I can never get enough of that. He's such a douchebag. To Paul and Andy, don't worry. I'm not completely heartless. I'll send something for you guys to munch on. I ordered the food before sending this email. Okay, so
that was the email from last week.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
What are you doing, Fred?
Oh, it was sent today.
Really?
We got more food coming?
Okay, Paul.
Someone go check the garbage.
Gary on that.
Yeah, Gary just pocketed my money. Meanwhile, this stuff was paid for. Okay, Paul, remember, deep breaths, stay calm. You did a real good job last week, but this is the true test. I don't want World War III to bring old Paul back. Nice Paul was very pleasant to listen
Paul
to.
Nice Paul is here.
I respect your opinions above those of 95% of New England sports media. Is it me, or does it seem like more than half of them don't even like the Patriots? Well, Paul's in that group. You guys rock and do a great job of keeping it balanced. I look forward to another great show.
There were two Papagino's orders out there. One was paid for.
Is that right? Oh, my God. Well, bring it
go
in.
Go back out there.
No, he left.
What? Are you serious?
It said J on it. It didn't say me, so I didn't think it was me.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
I hope Matt didn't waste his money on.
Yeah.
Matt's the
best. That's, Matt is the best.
Yeah, that's what I was concerned with.
Boy, Gary really screwed everyone over today, didn't he?
I'm out $36. Really? How did this cost $34,
by the way? That's another good question.
I tip better than Ben Watson.
I got really
Gary's on the 30% curve like Andy and I.
I gave him $4. It was 29. I gave him 33.
$29 for a pizza and wings?
The wings are very expensive, Fred.
$9 for the
wings. The receipt's right there.
$5 for the sub and $11 for the
pizza.
They
got that 3-for thing. You can get three pizzas for $15.
Oh, okay,
next week you can make the call and you can get the 3-for thing.
Next week we have a listener make the call.
Well, he just did. Now we didn't even get
that.
Sorry,
that guy that ripped Tom about the Ben Watson thing is going to be all mad because all we're talking about is trying to acquire food.
Well, although it's working every week, so.
By the way, that guy wrote again. I'm not reading it. That Ken from Canton, he's all over you.
Look, I wonder why. Why can't we read it then? I like to hear Tom's responses.
I think the guy's a douchebag, but you can read his email.
Well, he says, I assume that your boy Tom has his apology Ben Watson ready for the beginning of the show. His attack on Watson was pitiful to begin with, but given that Ben has spent the last week in Iraq in Pakistan,
I don't care. I don't
actually
care.
Doing something unselfish.
I don't care what he's doing in
Sally's
Iraq.
Selfish whine was particularly offensive. By the way, when I asked about him on a message board I occasionally visit, I was told that in response to criticism of him on that board, PatsFans.com, ooh, old Tom created no less than 3 false names to write posts that supported his point of view of Chad Jackson's actions at the Patriots opening dinner. It was no less than I would expect from a tabloid wannabe.
That's not true. And listen, you went to an internet message board? Ooh, wow.
Hey, just so you know, that Chad Jackson story, that we have that confirmed. That happened.
Oh, yeah.
Let's put that to rest, that's a message board, you know, right, fiction kind right of
and
thing.
By the way,
that happens.
If you never move out of your parents' basement, you should try to become a moderator for one of those boards.
He says, also, Tom portrays himself as a knowledgeable player evaluation man in his draft analysis. Could you please list his bona fides? What gives him the right to have such strong opinions? Did he play, coach, scout? I have no problem.
You don't need any of those.
I have no problem with him having an opinion, but I do have a bit of a problem when he makes some of the absolute statements like he can't play instead of I don't think he can play or in my opinion he can't play.
Go read Mike Reese.
It's kind of offensive to hear him talk down to his audience. There are actually some fans out there who know something about football too.
Well, you don't have this job and I do. So, by the way, at the Combine, Mike Reese said to me, I don't know any of these players. I don't watch college football. So I guess you're going to stop reading his blog because he admitted that he didn't know any players in the NFL draft. So there you go. I have this job. That's my credentials. You don't, so you listen, and you listen to what I say.
I'm
what I write.
Of course,
Fred hired you, so.
Right.
How valuable
Frank,
is your job?
I'm only going to criticize one part of that that I completely disagree with at the end. First of all, when you make a statement, when you're on the radio and you're
asked. This is the only part he's disagreeing, by the way.
you caught that. You caught that, did you? No.
The new Paul.
When you make a statement, when Fred or Andy or whoever says something.
Right.
It's automatically assumed it's your
opinion.
That's
right.
Okay? You don't need to say, in my opinion, everything you say.
That's what you're taught in journalism classes. Put that in there.
Okay? That's a cardinal rule.
The draft stuff isn't an article. It's not a report. It's an opinion piece. We're giving our opinion on players.
Right.
The second part.
If Tom kept saying, in my opinion, I tell him to stop.
And the second part of that, which I disagree with even more strongly, is. You should speak in absolutes. You should say, I don't think he is this. That anybody can do that.
Right.
Yeah.
No one's claiming to be. Look, the NFL teams make mistakes. So what do you think guys that are trying to analyze what NFL teams are doing? Obviously, we're going to make thousands more mistakes than the teams.
In my opinion.
And if you don't like my opinion, then hang out at PatsFans.com or whatever the hell it is and see what the guy who works at the Gap thinks about who the Pats are going to take in the fifth round.
But no one, I mean, do you really want to listen to a show where people say, I'm not really sure, but
right.
I think that running back might be a good
I'm not saying that
yeah,
he
I mean,
could be.
Go listen to Peter King, where he covers all his bases. I mean, you know.
That loser who
that
makes
loser
more
who,
than
who,
all of us and who, has a way better job.
Well, because why did he get that job? Because he sucked up to everybody, and he writes whatever they want him to write.
How dumb is Peter King?
It's pretty easy.
Is the new kinder, Paul?
Going on a rant.
But he's right.
No, I'm just saying that those two criticisms, I think, are 100% wrong. When you're giving an opinion, you should give an opinion. Not
it's your
I
opinion
think,
that those are 100% wrong.
I think they might be.
And if you want
to
know my credentials, I did say Darnell Bing would go in the fourth round of the draft. I did say Ashton Yabuti would go in the third round. And I did say Mike Haas would go in the sixth round last year. And we got emails laughing in my face. Check to see where those guys got drafted.
Right. And I knew that Robbie Gould would be a good kicker.
You did.
And you're
right.
The special
you
teams
did,
guy.
Right. You're the kicker.
And Andy's the that's offensive
why,
line guy.
That's you why you're the kicking that. Specialist, Fred. I have no area of draft expertise, but that's okay.
You're related to Ferragamo.
Vince Ferragamo. That's my okay.
Fred, you know that one of Bill Belichick's greatest regrets in his time here is that he let Robbie Gould get away.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Just an unveiled, completely
he wasn't
unveiled
listening,
shot.
He wasn't reading my updates.
At Adam Vinatieri.
Phil from Nova Scotia, while listening to your podcast at work, I thought of a question to ask you guys. How has new media, in particular podcasting, changed sports media? Concerning your podcast, it has given me access to information previously unavailable in my area of the world and, in turn, has made me a better informed fan. Not only am I learning more about the players and their personalities, for better or worse, but also about the personalities of the people that cover them. No longer are you guys just the faceless voices of sports information, but you are putting yourselves out there by providing sports infotainment. Did you guys ever have concerns about revealing too much of yourselves? I'll wait patiently for a response while I make myself a sandwich in your kitchen.
Just kidding.
I don't think we worry about
it no.
much.
We seem to be pretty unfiltered.
I could speak for Andy that Andy's never given that thought. We are what we are. I think the one thing that we could say about ourselves is that we try not to take it too seriously. Would that be accurate?
Sure.
Yeah.
We try to have some fun
with it. It's
supposed
to be fun. It's sports.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you want to talk about, you know, were you talking about Ben Watson was going, that's the real life crap. You know, we don't want to get into that here.
And that is where new media is going. I mean, the best damn sports show, that was their whole gimmick was, we're just four guys sitting around by the bar talking about sports. And that's why there's some girls on there and they do other stuff and they have stupid gimmicky out in the back lot things. And
yeah, if we were doing podcasts on, the White House and covering that, I don't think that we'd be sitting here talking about, vacuum cleaners and Walmart and things like that. But, you know, it's sports and I think it's supposed to be fun and it's supposed to be entertaining.
And gosh darn it, we're the best at it. Just check the iTunes listings.
We try.
New England Patriots podcast.
Some
Kick
people
ass.
Obviously don't like it, but we try.
But they still listen. They still, just like Joey Feep. I know you're listening, Joey Feep, so email in. Yeah. Fraud.
Phil says, follow-up question. Why are the Patriots so far ahead of other NFL teams when it comes to working in this new medium? Keep up the great work, and thanks again for doing this podcast.
Frank's
I
got
to give all the credit for that to Fred Kirsch.
No, the Crafts, they invested
in it. I get you. You went to Fred. You know, hat in hand, you went to the Crafts, and you sold yourself.
But at that time, there was no internet. Or there was no web. World Wide Web, believe it or not.
You did it, Fred. It was all you.
Paul, please do not go soft on us. There are many of us out there that appreciate your grating personality. Don't lose your edge.
No, I have to put the edge away for a while. My grating radio personality was getting on, at least one person's nerves.
Okay.
How many people's nerves am I getting on?
Oh, a lot. Countless.
Yeah, but that's it. That's the part of it. You're a lightning rod.
So, Fred, what's next?
What do you mean, what's next?
In the new media.
I'll tell you, horizon. What you should do is go to yesterday's Globe and read an article about what they call WiMAX. You know what Wi-Fi is, right? Mm-hmm. It's what allows you to have wireless computers. Well, WiMAX is Wi-Fi on steroids. So basically,
Tom and Andy are in.
Yeah. You're walking around. You know, this
so
is
Andy. Andy won't get me any.
Are half the players in the locker room down the hall.
once cities or areas have WiMAX. You'll walk around with your device, and you'll be able to get live TV wireless.
Yeah, I heard you've been talking
basically
about that for a while.
Basically, what we're talking about.
So you're pretty much be able to watch TV anywhere.
Yeah.
That's my dream now,
but I'm talking about TV over the internet.
Right. But who pays for all this?
Companies like Sprint or whoever wires it up, and you know.
So
us,
you would have one
it.
Like,
you know,
account with some provider.
Well, like you have now, like Comcast, you have now.
Right.
Comcast would either do a deal with Sprint to lease their, you know, area, or there'd be some way that you would have to pay into this, but you would have a device and you'd be able to get on demand, whatever, live without wires.
And when?
When?
When's this going to
happen? How long?
Yeah.
I'd say you probably won't see it really being ubiquitous until at least 2 years, maybe three.
That's a good word, Fred, ubiquitous. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
So people in 3 years could be watching PFW in Progress, a video show?
Absolutely.
Just everywhere they go.
Anywhere on the subway.
Does this mean we're not going to be able to eat anymore during
the
show?
No, that's part of our charm.
Oh.
But that's the
next charm.
I say our ratings go down if people can see us.
Jay in UK.
What the hell was that?
I like the way you talk.
Wasn't that a South Park tip?
No, that's Sling Blade.
Mm-hmm. No, but isn't that where Cartman goes, shouldn't have done it. He was just a boy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's Sling Blade.
South Park. Okay.
All right. No, it's Sling Blade.
No, it's South Park. Sling Blade's before my time.
What's this? For Randy, he says ubiquitous. he's looked it up. Existing or being everywhere, especially at the same time, omnipresent. There you go.
Thanks,
good stuff, Gary.
Where'd you get that from? iDictionary.com? You loser.
Jay in the UK says, seeing as Patrick Willis has blazed his 4.37 speed frame into the first half of the first round, is he now out of reach of the Pats? I read in an article that the Pats were not working out LaRon Landry because he would simply be out of their reach on draft day. Contradictory to that, I've read on a draft site, what we're hearing section, that they're hearing that the Pats are, and I quote,
looking into deals in order to move up in the first round to acquire Mississippi's Patrick Willis. My question is essentially, what can we believe from scouts and people supposedly in the know before the draft? Both articles seem to suggest different possibilities. Is it simply wild speculation?
Yes. Exactly. You know these draft websites you go to? If I hadn't gotten a job here, sooner or later, I probably would have started one of those things, and I would have had a what you were hearing section, and I would have just been making up crap. So that's basically what you're getting.
Yeah, and I'm not even trying to be overly critical of those sites because
they're doing their job. With
you know, it's like Andy when you had that Redskins thing. What was
that rumor I'd heard?
Yeah, you know, and all of a sudden it you know took on a life. That's what happens, you know, with these kinds of rumors. I don't think that anybody would logically know that the Patriots are specifically looking to trade up. I don't think that anybody beyond Scott and Bill, maybe a couple of other peripheral guys within the inner sanctum of the Patriots, and they're not letting that out there. Believe me, right. They're not.
You don't think so, huh, Paul? I mean, this is a team that when a guy's leg has fallen off says coming back questionable with leg injury, right. and people think that they know who they're going to draft. I mean, that's ridiculous. There's probably, like you said, three or four people. No,
and I talked to the director of college scouting yesterday, and I don't have.
And he talked to him. For
and
a
I was
long
on the phone with him.
For,
I don't have any more idea right now than I did before I talked to him. I mean, they don't let anything out.
Those people have to understand. Those websites are more entertainment.
That's
than
what
information.
They're for. They're entertainment. The mock drafts they're and everything. It's
fun.
All entertainment.
They're just like us. Have fun with it. Enjoy. Speculate. You know, oh, that would be cool if they could, but don't take it too seriously.
The other part too is I wouldn't. Read too much into whatever you hear about so-and-so's coming in for a visit or they went and look. They do their due diligence on a lot of players. And first of all, they might go and look at a guy and then come away thoroughly unimpressed.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So to say that, well, they had Robert Meacham in for a visit, well, maybe they didn't like what they saw.
Right. Yeah. Or you know, they have a question that they need to clear up. They need to get some
we'll
final
get into
information.
That, yeah. Dimitroff talked about that a lot. That's it's actually this time of year, you know, between the combine and the pro days, and then when you get to the draft, they have these need meetings where they have to find out some last piece of information that's still unanswered, and they might have a second workout. They did it, and he talked about it, they did it with Eugene Wilson. They went back to Illinois after having met with
him.
After having, you know, first targeted him as an underclassman, after having met with him at the Senior Bowl, after having met with him at the combine and having talked to him, you know, and worked him out at his pro day, they went back again for just as Andy talked described for a second workout. They said he was fabulous in, and that kind of convinced them that he was a guy that they might be looking at that late first round, early second round area. And they, you know, ultimately it worked out that they were able to take him.
It's kind of like, you know, I know we're not allowed to talk about vacuum cleaners, but I've been buying a mattress lately. And once you lay on the mattresses, by the time you get to the sixth or seventh mattress, you forget what the first one felt like when you laid on it. So you got to go back a second time and lay down.
So
again.
You just buy the one for $1,600.
Although,
you're rich.
Idiot.
I did fall into a trap. I heard the sales guy talking. The average person goes to three stores, and you want to be the last store because they get sick of the process and they just buy it at the last store.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I did.
I hear that. Tom, you've really opened up a can of worms here. They're all over you.
Is the same guy?
No. They're coming in now.
Oh, good.
This is Lizzie in the restaurant business.
Whoa.
Oh, this is a tipping thing?
She says, Tom, bet you wouldn't call Dylan face-to-face a scumbag like you did a moment ago.
Yeah, I would.
You are very brave when he is no longer around and should pray he never returns. You would drench your pants, guaranteed.
Last year on Felger, I challenged Dylan that if he wanted to take on a reporter, he can take me on because I'm not scared of him for one second.
That's assuming anyone is listening.
I don't mind extra talk topics around football. Just don't spend too much time on it. Above all, calling your listeners losers. Come on, Tom, that's a bit beneath you. When you overreact like that, you lose something in the eyes of people who still have some respect for you on the airwaves. So chill.
I got a lot of fans out there, so I don't care if you like me or not.
So chill and don't snap. Show some spine and never beg for food in public. Keep up the good work and be nice to Fred.
I love how Tom's become the guy who begs for food.
And Tom never, ever can't because he doesn't eat anything, so he doesn't care.
And who the hell's Lizzie? We don't know any Lizzie. You
well,
hit the road, Lizzie.
I was actually intrigued because it started out with Lizzie in the food business, and I thought maybe we'd get some
get
food,
some
out,
food
of
out of it.
Yeah, I got plenty of fans. I ain't worried about you.
Plus, nothing's beneath Tom.
No, nothing.
let's see. Brian in
Colorado.
Except
a broken chair.
Tom, as long as you leave your free Taiwan T-shirts at home, you should be fine as ambassador to China. Look at the bright side. Just think how huge you will look compared to the Chinese man. Wear your wife beater shirts in the street, and I'm sure you'll be a hit. Thank God for the internet access to the paper. It took me 2.5 weeks to get it delivered in Colorado. If the Pats keep both their first-round picks, what are the chances they take linemen like Staley or Khalil? Anyone?
45%.
Yeah, Khalil's a center. So I would say not him, but Staley or another type of tackle, I would go 45%.
Blaylock was one of those guys.
Staley was pretty impressive. I have to admit, you guys talked about him at the Combine, and I watched his
He's definitely
his
on
question
the upswing.
There is the level of play
right.
He's faced.
And he moved around pretty well, but they've, you know, they
and the fact that he faced Dan Bazin in practice, right. And that guy stinks.
But they did all right with Kazier out of that same league, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
Well, did they?
Yeah. We're not
we don't
sure.
Know yet.
That's
maybe they're drafting a guy to replace Kazier.
But I don't think talent is the reason they're going to be trying to replace him. If they,
well, what do you think
do.
It is?
I think there'd be something off field.
Let's
really?
See. Thanks for streaming
much.
The show and all the podcasts you put out. Your banter makes the show a lot of fun. F the complainers. If you only played it straight, you would not have the listenership that you do.
Yeah,
exactly.
Be Dalen Holly.
Lizzie.
And yet, Paul, you might end up on that.
I was going to say, and yet when the producer calls and says, Dale's out this week, you want to fill in with Holly? I'd love to. Thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
And you wouldn't?
Of course I would.
All right, then.
But I don't rip him on the air.
I'm not ripping anybody. I'm just
good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
Ken says, this is Ken Baldwin.
He was one of the originals.
Long-time emailer.
Yep. Back in the old
I signed up for a subscription
South
to the Patriots newspaper to support the radio show and your salaries, as has been requested in the past. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Two questions.
Hello,
one,
friend.
Since Belichick took over, what was the percentage of draft picks chosen that were invited for Pat's on-site visit? Please,
Paul, I'll let you handle that.
I have no idea.
Names of players that came on-site for a visit and then were chosen.
I have no idea.
They've
I'm
done
sorry.
Both. There's been guys that they did everything Paul said. Every
well, looking
visit.
For a percentage.
I have no idea.
Yeah, but do you have any idea?
I don't.
No.
Well, I don't want to just wildly, irresponsibly throw one out there.
Maybe
17.
Can find that out.
I welcome you to try.
You know, it's an interesting
the
question.
Around here.
Oh, it's a very.
You can understand
some
why
guys. Some guys they don't even talk to.
Right.
Absolutely.
To
I think it's. I think it's a very legitimate question. I just really don't think we have the means with which to find out the answer.
Yeah.
Two, Fred, do you the Patriots plan on setting up travel packages to attend the game in China? And if so, when will it be available to review and purchase? If they don't plan on setting up travel package, can you post info on the website to purchase tickets and arrange travel to where the Pats will be staying? Well, I'm
no
sure
disrespect
I know
to the
that
Orioles.
When they're actually WEEI is already doing travel packages. They're advertising it on air.
I know they're going.
Yeah.
I think a lot more people are going than I would have originally thought.
I don't think the Patriots are going to be doing fan travel packages, but I do know that local travel agents will be doing stuff. So when we find that out, but right now the tickets aren't even for sale.
I was going to say, are we going to have the opportunity to get tickets? I got a guy looking for tickets.
To Beijing?
No. He lives there.
Oh, okay.
And he's a big Patriots fan, and I said, I don't know. It's a communist country.
Well, I'm sure that once, you know.
Not according to.
Well, I was very informative.
It's more socialism.
Yeah, they're moving in the right direction.
I know. I've got a conference call tonight at 6 and then one on Friday at 5, and I'm sure there'll be some announcements next week.
Nice.
So, pertaining to this game.
And when are you going back?
Maybe as early as May.
You have to go only one more time or two more times?
At least maybe two more times before the game.
Oh, God. That's tough.
Yeah. I got to go to London next week.
Well, London's nothing compared to China.
What day is that? Is that going to be?
Thursday.
Okay. As Andy would,
I'm taking it off.
As Andy would say, London's a skip across the pond.
But if I was you, when I'm not here, I'd put a secret camera in his cubicle.
How do you know I don't have one?
Because he's still working.
Because
he's still working here.
It's not fair.
When the cat's away.
I give you guys my trust, and you just. Throw it down the toilet.
Not us, Andy.
I don't know why you had to pluralize that.
You know, Andy, all you have is your word. And when you lose that, you have nothing.
I've never told you I don't leave early when you're not here.
Let's see. Sean says, what's up? Glad to see Fred's back from the Chinese torture chamber. I spent more time in the air than on the ground.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That sucks.
NFL screwed up my reservation.
I actually got there 12 hours later than I was supposed to.
Was Jonathan a part of that trip at all?
No, he was not.
Okay.
The NFL screwed up my reservation.
Kind of quiet now, I guess, until the draft. Also, I think you guys are pretty happy. No traveling on Turkey Day this year.
Woo-hoo.
Since the Jets are playing Dallas. I have three topics to touch on. One, my take is we are going to play at the Jets since the Patriots' heads are invading Gillette the night before. Is this a bad opener for the Pats? What's that mean? Oh, the Parrot Heads.
The Patriot Heads.
Oh, that's right. There's a Jimmy Buffett.
Can you explain
Buffett?
That again?
No, I think
because you messed that up
I
so bad.
I think we're going on
absolutely.
The road.
That's what he's saying.
Said. We're going to open
the
at the Jets.
We'll open at, the, in New York because the Jimmy Buffett concert's the night before.
I was guessing either the Jets or the Bills because basically every game the Patriots play this year is going to be a nationally televised game, and they weren't listed on that first weekend as a nationally televised game. So I'm kind of leaning
Why
towards
that?
Buffalo.
Why do you think every game the Patriots
Well, because it's pretty much is a big game almost.
There's
every
a lot
one
of
that
good
they,
games on the
they
schedule.
Play.
But what do you mean? What do you mean by a nationally televised game?
Well, I mean either like a you know
a
one
4 o'clock
one
featured
of the,
game,
right,
or,
featured
yeah.
game,
oh, okay. a featured game. I mean, not nationally televised.
I think
game.
We're going to be opening at home. By the way,
really?
Because
even
almost,
with the Buffett concert the night before,
almost all of the well, I mean, there's a possibility, but almost all of the teams that we're playing are involved in those games that they've already talked about in that first week, and they're all home opponents. Almost. There's only like three home opponents that weren't involved. I mean, road opponents, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
That's, well, it could be the Jets or Buffalo.
Buffalo.
No,
one
could,
and all.
It could be anybody. I yeah. think it's going to be a home
one
game.
One and
all. Well, no question. If it's Buffalo, it's one and
all. Let's
see. And take the Patriots, given the points.
Buffalo stinks.
Paul Polunsky. Is that his name?
Nope.
Poslusny.
Poslusny.
Yeah.
Going to the Pats in the first round is a bit out there. I,
Ooh.
For one, don't want anyone from Penn State on the Pats because seeing the school firsthand, let alone have him drafted in the first round, I think Pats fans just see some resemblance between him and Teddy Bruschi, which is not accurate.
That's correct. That's a good way of putting it for someone who watches Penn State. Very good college football team, very good college defense. But when you look at the guys on their own, they don't really translate well into the NFL.
I was going to say, though, we're not making our judgment on, oh, the guy went here, the guy went, you're watching him.
Yeah.
Again, he has chicken legs. I just don't think he's a good fit. I don't think he's going to be a very good playmaking first-round type pro linebacker.
I could see him being like one of those decent kind of starter. You know what I mean? One of those guys who's not great, has other
like
better people
He'll
around
be the
him.
Third or fourth yeah. guy in a linebacker
I could
core.
See him being that in the NFL, but not your number one linebacker.
Who'd you say? Rob Morris.
Yeah, some
yes.
guy like that that makes
yeah.
some
yep.
plays. He's okay. Every year the team might think about, should we upgrade? And then they end up stuck with him.
Three, Lawrence Maroney, health is a concern. I think you said it best. He had three injuries during half the load. How is he going to carry the full boat? Are you confident in the running game with Morris and Maroney?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, right now I would say yes.
Unless something would have happened to Maroney that he was out long-term, I mean definitively out, not missing a game or so, I have no problems with Morris filling in that Dylan role.
What kind of numbers
Maroney?
He puts up?
Somewhere between 12 and 1,400.
I was going to say 1,380.
Somewhere between 12 and 1,400
per
with double digit touchdowns. I think he'll average more than four a carry. I think he'll be solid.
Feel that way?
I don't think he's going to be one of the best in the league, but I think he'll be solid.
Well, that's a pretty good year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could.
You
go
get
for
1,300
that.
Yards
yeah.
and double digit touchdowns. That's
I'll,
a tremendous
I'll,
year
yeah,
for
buy that.
First time starting lead
yeah.
dog.
Mm-hmm. Sure. But I think he's pretty good.
I don't think he gets it.
Well,
I'll take the under.
I think he'd have to be injured not to get it.
We haven't seen that before.
No,
we'll
you're right.
Times.
Absolutely. We talked about it right at the top of the show, and you're right.
Gary from Easton, Mass. Says, Andy screwed up. We know that.
Probably.
In
happened.
A question posted in this morning's Ask PFW, so this is about yesterday, about Randy Moss.
I'm going with Gary took the bait.
Andy was asked about not only trading for Moss, but if Belichick could get his act together. Andy, you numbskull, the question was if Belichick could get Randy Moss's act together, not his own. Now, don't get your buns in an uproar here, Mr. Hart. Just a little good-natured ribbing. I think all of you on PFW in Progress, with your different styles and opinions, make the show fun to listen to. Keep it up.
Yep, you got me, Gary. Totally misread it.
Andy claims that he did it on purpose.
I told you I was going to do it a week and a half ago when the email came in.
He knew what it was supposed to say. No, it actually was written incorrectly. And the way it was written.
I'm saying anyone who wrote that and they took high school English would fail.
Okay.
The rest of Ask PFW probably would fall under the same.
The way it was written was, what do you call those dangling participles where it's not modifying the right, it actually said Bill needs to get his act together.
Right.
Huh? Right.
Bill and his act.
Russ from
you
Canton,
got me, Gary.
Everybody on the planet. Everybody on the planet knew what it meant, but Andy
yep,
just
you got me, Gary.
And a lot of emailers took the bait and have emailed Andy. You made a mistake.
Russ
yep,
from
you
Canton.
Got me, Gary.
All right.
Jesus.
Russ from Canton. Ever since John Tomasi's article in the Herald regarding Lawrence Maroney, there has been much discussion that the Pats need to draft a running back. Since the article, there have been reports in the Globe that Maroney should be fine for the season. Why are many media pundits out there still saying there is a need for a running back? I don't get it. Well, because of what we just talked about, the question about durability, I guess, right?
Right. Plus, there's a couple of different ways that they might need help at running back. I mean, you could make an argument that you want another guy to come in and share the load with Maroney, even if he's healthy. And there's an argument to be made that you might be looking for, a third down type like Falk, because, you know, Kevin's getting up there a little bit in age, and you might want to find a guy that can do some of those things in the middle to late rounds. You know, Lorenzo Booker, Darius Walker, as Andy and Tom have been talking about, one of those guys. So there's a couple of different schools of thought.
Brian Leonard, everybody's in love with. Guy can do a lot of things.
Did they vote against this?
Tom's falling
I don't know.
Asleep.
It doesn't really.
They're talking at the NFL meetings, Fred, about the overtime proposal of moving the kickoff to the 35.
Yeah.
Rich McKay is on live.
I don't know if they've done it or not. It just has.
I think these are best of clips or something. Like. Oh, no, this is live.
No, it's live.
See that thing that says live that usually gives it away?
Best of.
No, but I was
meetings.
Watching it earlier with Gary, and it was clips of all these meetings.
You know, we often take, some fun with Mike Reese, but I thought what he had on Sunday, and we all agreed, was excellent. Having Bill's opinions on some of the moves or proposals that were going to be put on the table at the owners' meetings this week, and I thought Bill's explanation of overtime was dead on.
Yeah.
It's unfair to have a coin flip decide such an important thing.
Yep.
Speaking of the NFL meetings, and I just saw it's Marshall Faulk announced his retirement. And did you see the note about the Rodney Harrison, Trent Green injury? And sounds like Rodney Harrison wasn't brother-in-lawing it on some level when Marshall Faulk was, and it led to the end of Trent Green's time in St. Louis and the beginning of the magical Kurt Warner ride.
Yeah, I read that. It was very interesting.
It's amazing they still think Rodney Harrison's dirty.
Steve writes in. He's from Ontario. Says, it was a year ago this month when I bought my iPod and discovered PFW Online. With that in mind, it's time for me to pay up. I've started today by subscribing to the PFW paper, and I'll be putting up the cash for your lunch in a week or two.
Wow.
Just have to wait for classes to end so I'm available to make the order on a Wednesday afternoon. Anyway, thanks for the great show. You guys are definitely worth the price of the magazine and a free lunch once a year. I won't forget the sub either, Tom.
Thanks a lot.
That guy gets hosed, right, because of the conversion?
You got to love these jealous listeners that can't stand that we're getting free food.
Quick question about PFW. Is there any way to get the online subscriber section before I get my first issue? With it being the off season, it's tough to wait for the first issue. I want to dive in right away. You can get the first issue as soon as we create it. So you can get it the day it's in the mail. So you'll certainly get it online before you get it in the mail.
But I think what he's asking, he needs his ID number.
Oh, the ID. Okay.
He can contact somebody.
All right, Steve, email Carol Hardy, CARROLH at patriots.com. Tell her I said to email you and that you need your stuff.
Everybody else, send an email to that same address just saying, haha, I have your email address.
I'll know who it is.
Actually, everybody else emails at carolh@patriots.com and say you too want to be a subscriber to Patriots Football Weekly.
And send lunch.
And if you're not already, then shame on you.
Let's see.
Does it cost extra to send it to Canada?
Yeah.
But we eat that. He doesn't.
A little bit.
You eat everything.
Just a little bit.
As long as it's free. Sorry.
The emails are still coming in about Tom. John says, I don't think the listeners misinterpreted Tom. I think they were dead on, and Tom just can't admit he was wrong for bringing it up.
No, I wanted to bring it up.
He really believes. Right. Well, let me get one thing straight. He really believes
that. I think he should have left $7.
That it was a cheap tip.
And I agree.
But the part about him somehow, you know, letting that affect how he's going to cover Ben Watson in the future.
It's ridiculous. And I've admitted that I was wrong on the show numerous times, as these guys can
Been wrong on this show. I'm not sure you've admitted
it. I usually admit when I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. I think that Ben Watson is a cheap tipper.
And it was brought up as not necessarily, groundbreaking or earth-shattering news. It was,
it was just
one of those stupid
PFW
tangents. Yeah. That we throw a lot of crap on the table.
I don't know if you know this, but we can't always write and talk about everything we want. So if we get something, we're going to bring it up. I mean, that's how it goes around here.
You're not supposed to tell everybody that.
Owen from Ireland. My friend is an Eagles friend.
Fred's drunk, too.
And he showed me one of the podcasts off their website. It was good, but nowhere near PFW.
Yeah, we kicked their ass.
Something I found interesting that they said was that if 8 scouts looked at Stallworth and Kevin Curtis, 4 would say Curtis was more valuable and 4 would say Stallworth was. They aren't sure that Andy Reid wanted Stallworth back since the Eagles did not try hard to resign him. I find all this hard to believe. What do you think?
Well, I would strongly disagree with the scouts' assessment that there would be four out of eight would find Kevin Curtis more valuable. Now, if you want to take production in terms of injuries or something else, the substance of, whatever,
work ethic,
that's different. But if you're just talking from a pure talent perspective, value, I don't think there's even a comparison.
You work both those guys out in your own little mock pro day,
and you come away thinking that there's an even split. I don't buy that either. And I'm not saying that because the Patriots got Stallworth, like Frank probably would say that.
No, but I mean, the bottom line is, in terms of physical skills, Stallworth's got it. You can question almost everything else about him. Durability, work ethic,
right.
Everything, decision-making, maturity.
And from a Philly standpoint, you could make an argument saying, based on all of that, maybe we're going to be better off with Curtis. I don't necessarily see it. I think this is a great contract that the Patriots signed with Stallworth where they have very little risk in it if it doesn't work out. And I also disagree with the notion that it's strictly a one-year deal. I mean, I know that, Drew Rosenhaus went out of his way to say we look at it as a six-year deal, and I don't necessarily look at it from his perspective either. But I think if he comes in here and does the things that Andy just said that he could do, I think the Patriots are paying him next year, and I think that's a bargain.
Because you'll be paying him less than you'll be paying
up front
for Wes Welker.
And people somehow have this impression that it's going to be an $11 million cap hit with all that money he gets. It's not. It's spread out. I think it's only two of that bonus money per year.
Right.
So I don't see this as being necessarily a one-year deal.
No, I think
if he comes in and produces, the Patriots would do well to
Drew Rosenhaus has kind of a bad image when it comes to agents, but I think the Patriots work well with him.
Well, it's been a love fest the last week.
What do you think of Robert's comments with him?
They keep bringing us the good guys.
Yeah.
Let's see. Shannon from Seattle.
Gus Scottfield really worked out for you, huh, Drew?
He says, stay sweet, never change. I hope to see you over the summer. Spanish class was fun. Go Patriots. Tom.
Spanish class was fun.
I don't know what that means.
Shannon's a little out there. He called that one time.
I think
you and I were here.
Oh, it's a yearbook thing.
Tom.
Maybe Shannon's from Ireland.
Says, Tom, is that the kind of email you get from the 17 to 18-year-old girls in your fan club, or why? Just curious.
What kind of email?
The
one up top.
Spanish.
Stay sweet, never change, hope to see you over the summer.
No 17-year-old girls email me anymore.
They don't even look at it.
I'm just giving you crap, and I'm merely hoping to hear you say douchebag over the broadcast. 2 years ago.
You missed that earlier. You've been listening. There have been a lot of those.
2 years ago, I was
banging 19-year-old blonde girls. We have anything to say.
What is the highest possible position in the draft you all think the Pats would move up to, and who would it be for?
14.
And do you think there is a better chance that they move up, move down, or stay pat in the first round? Also, Lendale White is a fat piece of crap and love it when other AFC teams' higher draft picks turn into busts. Wait, Chad Jackson, crap. And also, hey, Sawyer, let your pretty old sister know that I'm a coming to Low A for a Hawks football game this here fall season. Tune her up for me.
I thought that feud was over.
Evidently, it's just been reignited.
Up, down, or stay pat?
You know, the other thing,
down.
There's a fourth option. Get out completely and move into 08 in that first round. You never know.
I think they'll keep one pick.
Yeah, I don't think they would trade both. Maybe one.
I think they trade one of them to move down, and there's a possibility that it's in 08 as well, Fred.
I think
you're right.
But I agree.
I consider that down. Like, you're not making that pick.
Because they only have a few picks they can trade out of their picks.
Seven of them can be traded. The last four, obviously, that they got yesterday.
They had 10.
Six can be traded.
Six.
So right around half. So, yeah, I could see that, too, getting more picks in 2008.
JC in Anaheim says, would we be better off making a trade with Washington by trading Asante Samuel in our 28th to move up and get Willis?
Willis seems like one of two outstanding players in the draft, the other being Calvin Johnson. Oh. Then trade down with our 24th pick to pick up a cornerback, safety, maybe even Zach Diossi. I noticed that draftboardinsider.com, they now have Zach Diossi at 48 in the second round.
Holy That's crap. A joke. That's an absolute joke.
Can we get back to Patrick Willis being one of the two best players in the draft?
Listen, Zach Diossi, I just wrote this for the web. I think he would be a nice day two pick.
No question.
A very strong day two selection, but any team taking him on the first day, 48? I think is kidding themselves. I don't believe the Patriots will be one of those teams.
That's the middle of the second round.
Take it for whatever it's worth, but in talking to his father, I think he's expecting him to be a day two pick. So, middle of the second round.
He's been on the rise, though, no question.
That's
nonstop riser.
Well, he had a good combine, right?
He had a great combine.
Yeah.
So, but still, I mean,
Patrick Willis 48? Is, I think, the best inside linebacker in this draft. I think inside linebackers at their best aren't necessarily top five picks, top 10 picks.
They're like a good bowl of soup. They have a ceiling.
I certainly don't look at him as a.
I don't know what that means.
They have a ceiling.
There's a ceiling. A good bowl of soup is still just a bowl of soup.
The best bowl of soup that you could possibly have is still just
a great inside linebacker.
You've never had the lobster biscuit lockover.
Speaking of overrated, lobster. But I think there are similarities between Willis and Johnson in that they seem to be the perfect prospect, no off-field troubles, yes, sir, productive. Then they both capitalize with great 40 times, continue to rise up and meet every challenge.
I'm not criticizing Willis as a player. I'm just saying there's got to be better.
All right, what is this, the Academy Awards here?
Well, what am I, Simon, and you're just going
to
cut me
off? All right, well, that is the end of the show,
your opinion. You have to say,
we got
to
get going.
Opinion.
We'll be back next Wednesday. Maybe. Podcast coming on Friday, the roster report. Check it all out on Patriots.com.